If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. What's the atomic weight of mercury?
Wow, that was hard to listen to.
Let's go smell some pot. Let's go smell some pot. Let's go smell some pot. Let's go smoke some pot.
Hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Thank you for pointing that out. You're the smartest guy I know.
I'm getting kind of sick of your attitude, all of you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
God damn it, I love
Pass it over.
You smoke.
Roll another one.
Third one is bad.
Okay. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
This show sucks.
Roll another one.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Just like the other one.
You're high. You're on the pot.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Smoking doobies. Doobie brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brother.
Jews.
And now, are you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it is Friday, the 23rd of May I See Them?
She has such big boobs.
That reminds me that Miss Cleo has joined us in the studio here this morning on a Friday. Good morning, Miss Cleo.
Good morning.
Miss Cleo was all fired up when she came in, Kevin, because she saw the Indiana Jones movie last night.
Oh,
and,
that's
a lot of people are making plans to do that same thing this weekend. So I wouldn't let her tell me anything about it. I said you got to just save it for on the air,
Miss Cleo.
It sucked.
Okay, that's what we're starting to hear from people.
It was awful. Okay,
tell us about.
How is it possible?
I am a huge Indiana fan. Okay. You can ask me anything about the first three movies, and I will.
So you've seen all three?
I've seen all three a billion times,
and you love them.
Grew up on them, and I love them.
Even the bad one,
even
the second
one.
Wow.
So I went last night because I was super stoked, and it was awful. It was
what sucked about it. What was awful?
The storyline, the plot, a little bit of the acting. It was really good up until. To be honest, I fell asleep in the middle of it. Yeah.
Now, might that be why you didn't enjoy it?
No. I didn't enjoy the ending of it. I just thought, to me, it came off like a... I don't want to ruin the plot for anyone, but it came off like a cheesy comic book.
Well, that
really
was kind of... Not the cheesy part, but the comic book part was the intent of the whole series, though. It was supposed to be a throwback to those kind of swashbucklers from the, you know, 30s and 40s.
Okay.
It's always had that sensibility a little bit.
The thing about it is, like, with Indiana Jones, it's always been, not realistic, but things that you could kind of be like, all right, if that happened, it makes sense.
You can buy in, right?
Yes. This one, and like I said, I don't want to ruin it, but... I was like, there is no way that you couldn't buy into it at all. The plot was just so out there. I was like, come on, Steven.
Did you say come on, Steven?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Steven Spielberg.
How was
Were you there with a guy named Steven?
Funny bean. Harrison Ford was okay. He was better than I thought because in his past couple of years, he's been all loopy. And I was like, how is he going to pull this off?
Been very robotic.
Yeah. He didn't seem like he was on drugs. He was not bad at all. But...
Shia LaBeouf? Yeah.
So she likes him and she likes
her. She likes Shia LaBeouf and she likes the Indiana Jones
movie. And I love the series. And I wow. Yeah, I don't want to say why, but because it'll give
away. Way to bring us down.
Sorry.
Does it have to do with the aliens? I don't know anything about it.
Yes.
Okay.
That was my main problem with it.
That's what we keep hearing.
And I won't say anything else.
I'm going this afternoon, so.
Hurt my heart a little.
Wow.
It hurt your heart.
It really
wow,
did.
That's a not a good that's review.
Saying, well, it's kind of a something. Jewel, you know? It's a little jewel for all of us. And
what are you talking about?
The series.
Oh.
Jewels in
oh,
the movie?
I thought you were, I thought you were talking about Miss Cleo's heart. All right. Well, thank you, Miss Cleo.
You're
we're
welcome.
We're going to source you with Mr. Movie Phone later on today and see what he thinks. But, you know, the reviews have been pretty mixed on this. There are some people who love it and some people like Leo maybe who not so much. And then a few in between. But it'd be interesting. But like Kevin said yesterday, a movie like this is an event film. It's pretty review proof, good or bad. Many people will go to see it.
Yeah, I kind of have to. I feel like I like the first ones too. And it's a big enough movie, and I just can't believe it's that bad. And
yeah, exactly. That's how I'm feeling.
Now I've been warned, and it won't surprise me if it is bad, but I can't stop myself from going.
Gotta go.
I
mean,
but now that you heard what Cleo said, you may go in expecting it to be bad, and you may really like it, too.
Yeah, by the way, expectations can have a lot to do with it. If you expect it to be like the first one, then you're probably going to be disappointed. If you've heard that it's bad, you go in, you expect it to be bad, then maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
How about that?
Okay.
That kind of sucks.
And I want to mention, in case we forget later, that big night for Psycho Mike tonight, too.
Big night for Psycho Mike. Lakers?
Game. Well, that's not what I was thinking. Isn't tonight the night you're opening for the Germs?
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it.
What?
Lakers.
You were so stoked about it.
I know.
Lakers.
Oh. Okay.
Bean. Lakers.
Apparently, somebody heard our recap, Kevin, of the Brotherhood of Vomit.
Mm-hmm.
And guys running a club or something has the punk band The Germs playing tonight and contacted Psycho Mike about having his group open for them, which would have been a pretty cool
gig
for him.
Yeah, no, it's way awesome. And I actually even would have done it and not gone to the game if for the fact that Tony, the other member of Brotherhood of Vomit, couldn't get it together. He had other personal stuff going on, too. And we, with such short notice, we just couldn't pull
it
off.
Did you tell the guy that you could do it in the future sometime?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I thanked him profusely. Just the idea of opening for the Germs was an honor. And then I said, anytime you ever need slots to fill, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
So, please think of me.
We need a ruling on if you can that's what she said yourself. I don't know.
I think it's a preemptive that's what she said.
You can't
do it before somebody else does.
All right. Okay.
What if we rape Kevin.
Wow. Where's that coming from?
I don't know. I'm not happy with that clip.
That's a bad turn of events right
Depending on who it is. I mean, maybe I am. depending on Miss Cleo, Lisa.
Gotcha.
I'm all right with that. Doc, not so all right.
Please, Kevin, not in the face.
Oh!
Wow.
Kevin!
Wow. What's the point, then?
Really?
I mean, what's the point?
It even vibrates like real.
Okay, that's fine.
What?
I don't even know what that is. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have the movie beat today. So we have Mr. Movie Phone will be here to tell us about Indiana Jones and the other movies that are coming out. Find out what he thinks about it. Ralph's
like
on vacation.
Like there's anything else.
Like there's anything else, right? Surprises from people that you thought you knew well. We do this every once in a while, and it's shocking. You go, yeah, I was married to so-and-so for 4 years before I realized that he did 10 years in San Quentin. What?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
How could you not tell me that?
And I think the answer to how can you not tell me that is usually there was never a good time to bring it up, and why bum everybody out?
Right.
So I just decided just to sit on it.
Yeah, killed a dude. Sorry, I should have told you.
Yeah, I did all that time in the joint, and I just didn't feel like I needed to bring it up. That's not who I am now.
I tried to figure out a point, but didn't really just lend itself.
Kind of like Hurley, by the way, who didn't want to tell anybody that he won $400 million on Lost. It's just that's the kind of surprise we're talking about. Is oh, by the way, I'm a multimillionaire.
I wish that dude would give me that $400 million. I hate to see it ruin his life.
But when he was on the island, it wasn't really pertinent.
Yeah, well,
it's not like he was getting to the money.
Although, did you see last week? Just as the creators of Lost told us on the show a couple weeks ago, the numbers finally came back last week. We hadn't heard those numbers that were central to the plot mythology of Lost. We hadn't heard them in a year. They hadn't been brought up, and then all of a sudden on last week's show, boom, there they were, right in Hurley's face.
That's what she said.
The odometer, or the
yes,
you're talking about the
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I can't follow that show when I keep up on it. I'm about two episodes behind now, so it's a lost cause for me, I think. We're going to do Ask a CSI today.
Yes.
That'll Ask be interesting.
Crime scene investigator. We have a real one. We're going to have him in the studio, and we're going to give you a chance to ask whatever questions you
questions
have.
Questions about blood splatter.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
When you're planning a crime.
DNA.
You need to
how to get away with
think
it.
About.
I'm fascinated by this topic because of the success of the television show and its many spinoffs. I would imagine that it has done more to influence how criminals commit crimes than any other show ever.
Because they watch it and say, I need to make sure I don't do this.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it has all the scientific tools that the CSI people have been able to use privately for all these years now are out in the open for the perpetrators. And also, I would imagine that it has influenced, and we'll talk to our CSI about this, it has influenced juries a great deal, too, who expect crime scene investigation to be just like it is on TV and probably have unrealistic expectations sometimes of what's available because of what they've seen on the show.
Right.
Could be. By popular demand, Beer Mug is back. He's going to shatter another Guinness World Record.
Well, I'm almost out of patience for this, and that's why I'm serious, because he's barely trying. You don't send a guy up to the plate who strikes out every single time. Eventually, he's got to go back down to AAA.
You do send him out there to strike out every single time if somehow he magically believes that he'll get a hit.
But
you know, like, that's fascinating.
That's why we picked something today that if he's ever going to get one, it's going to be today.
Yeah, right. This is going to be our gimme. We're going to pull it back a little bit. We're going to say, here's one you can do. Beer Mug is a Jewish guy, and we're going to have matzo balls today.
Who would do something like that?
Jews?
Exactly.
So, I'm sorry, because he's Jewish, you think he can beat the matzo ball record? He has a better shot at that than anything else.
Well,
because
yes.
What? He's eaten lots of matzo balls in his life?
He thinks so.
I think so.
Every week.
I know. And every week we go, all right, Mug, it's chicken soft taco. Oh, this is my forte. This is right in my wheelhouse. This morning I said, Mug, what you feeling like this morning? Oh, well, this is a given. This is for my people.
This is in his wheelhouse.
This is for Moses. That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
For those of you that don't know what matzo balls are, they're baseball-sized bread.
Yeah,
product.
They're very, very chewy.
And he needs to eat 21 of them in 5 minutes and 25 seconds.
He could actually die. He could, like, plug up his vocal, throat and die doing this.
Yeah, that's what she said.
He is a terrible swallower. He is excited because they're matzo balls and he's Jewish. And he also, therefore, is very excited that they're free. He did not have to pay for them.
That's true. That was a good point. And also, we are going to talk to director Uwe Boll.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This guy crazy. He's a German director, and he does pretty bad work.
Can you name a movie that I would know?
Not you.
Yes, the Kingdom. What was the Kingdom one?
The one where
Jason Statham
was a knight. Remember, it was just like three, 4 months ago. Name of the King.
Yes,
that was what it was. In the Name of the King. Yeah,
okay, and it was not.
He also did the Blood Rain movies, which I never saw, but I know they had a little bit of a fan base as well.
He makes movies based on video games a lot.
Okay.
And supposedly they're not bad. I mean, they're not good.
Yeah.
And critics complain about them not being good, and he gets all upset and threatens to fight them. I'll fight you. I'll fight you anytime. To the critics.
Well, that's a much easier thing to do than try to make a good movie.
Try to fix a movie, yeah. So we're going to talk to him today as well. And if you missed our fascinating, hard-hitting interview with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
About the Indiana Jones
Very
movies.
Timely.
That's coming up just after 6, so make sure you're tuned in for that. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz.
Today's the final day of Ralph Garman's vacation. He will be back. We'll be at full strength on Tuesday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. In the meantime, let's take a look at the showbiz beat for a Friday. I don't know about you guys, but I, as hot as she is, have no interest whatsoever in ever watching this Denise Richards reality show that's debuting this weekend.
Oh, God. No.
Only to hate her.
Oh, that's coming on this weekend?
I think Sunday night is when it debuts.
You know what else I think it's this weekend, Mike? Is it the Dina Loewen show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That is also debuting. I think they're both debuting on E! On Sunday night, and then they'll both move to their regularly scheduled Monday nights after that, I think is what I read.
Well, we could hate them enough to want to hear them.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, she is making the rounds on all the chat shows right now, and it's been a while since we've seen a divorce that's as acrimonious as this one. It doesn't seem like either Denise Richards or her ex-husband Charlie Sheen ever take any opportunity to take the high road and just not say anything about the other one.
Yeah.
But some interesting stuff is starting to come out in the interviews. Her show, by the way, is called It's Complicated. That's the name of the Denise Richards reality show.
Let me see. What does she say? She said she's doing the show because she needs to support her kids. However, apparently an insider told New York Post's Page Six that Charlie is giving Denise $52,000 a month in child support.
Wow.
Plus, she gets 2 years of alimony at $60,000 per month.
Okay, wait a minute. Over $100,000 per month, and there's an and?
And she also gets over $1 million per year in residuals that she gets for Two and a Half Men, the Charlie Sheen TV show.
Oh, my God.
Let's think about that for a moment. Let's let that soak in for a minute.
That's BS. And she had a career before, right? I mean,
she sure did. She was Dr. Christmas Jones, man.
She could support herself.
Totally.
Wow.
Over $1 million a year that Charlie Sheen gives away from Two and a Half Men. A show, by the way, that she wasn't on.
Yeah.
He was. And over $100,000 a year for alimony and child support. She also denies ever stealing Heather Locklear's husband, Richie Sambora, which, you know, the timeline of that always seemed like that's exactly what happened.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
She said the story that she lobbied Charlie for his sperm so that she could have a third child was never true. It was just a tabloid thing. And that, I believe, by the way, that always sounded too crazy to me. So, anyway, that's what Denise Richards is saying. Who knows? But I don't think I'm going to be watching.
But hasn't Charlie Sheen said that he will show emails proving the thing about the DNA?
Yes. That's what he said.
So I hope that's true. What the hell? Red Hot Chili Peppers have broken up.
Oh, thank God. I mean, that's terrible. Tell me it's not so.
For a year, at least. Anthony told Rolling Stone magazine the band members will take 12 months off to do their own thing, to be with their families. And then they'll work on, they'll get back together.
Oh, okay.
Now, is that a year starting now or a year starting when they stopped working whatever their last tour album was?
It doesn't say. I do not know. But apparently,
I want it to be a year starting in a year is what I want.
Flea's going to do a solo album. John Frusciante's going to do a solo album. And then after the break, then they'll get back together.
Oh. I hope my eyes lit up.
I hope John Frusciante sings on his.
I do too. He usually does it, but I hope he does. It is a shame because they're very talented. Don't get me wrong. I think they're really good. They have been so successful, though, that I think many of us are ready for a break.
Yes.
That's all it is. They've been victims of their own success is all that's going on there.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey has a new diet that she's talking about, Lisa. You know how
I know about this.
I don't know why so many people follow Oprah's diet advice
either.
Because clearly it doesn't work for her. She manages to lose it, but always 100% of the time put it back on. So how good a diet can it be?
Well, I think the diets are good. She just can't stick to them. That's always the problem with any diet. They work, but then, you know, if you're an emotional eater.
But isn't your instinct, the first thing you do is go, who's giving me diet advice? Fat? Okay, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right, exactly.
No, because she's been there. And she's been
thin. I got news for you. She's been there a lot.
I know.
I'm so fat.
Well, now she's swearing off, it's a gluten-free diet. That's the centerpiece of it. But there's no caffeine, no sugar, no gluten, no alcohol. By the way, I'm out. She also writes that, let me see.
No animal products.
After giving up sugar, gluten, alcohol, meat, chicken, fish, eggs, and cheese.
Yeah.
Oprah says, hey, but there's plenty to choose from after that. Here's her quote.
It sounds like you can't eat now after all that.
It sure does, doesn't it? She says, I can honestly say that every meal is a surprise and a delight, beginning with breakfast, strawberry rhubarb wheat-free crepes is what she's having for breakfast.
Mm. Well, it's a surprise and a delight because she doesn't cook it because she's got this fabulous vegetarian chef to cook it for. I looked up her blog yesterday because I got an email about it. And I thought, well, that's great. I'd love to be able to do that, too. But there's no freaking way I can cook yummy meals like that.
A, she's fat more than she's thin. B, she's got her own chef.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
How about somebody else giving us advice?
And she's doing it for 21 days.
Right.
What the hell?
She calls it a detox diet.
Excluding caffeine, I follow those same dietary guidelines.
But you have chicken.
No, I don't.
You have chicken and you have eggs.
He only has fish.
He has eggs.
Fish and eggs.
That's true. Okay, you're right.
Well, that's not the point. The point is she's saying, I can tell you how to lose weight.
Most people, Mike, can't stick to the diet you do either.
No, 100%. But I'm saying...
Because they're not so vain.
That's true. but I agree kind of with Kevin is that beyond the fact that Oprah has been there, and I understand where Lisa's coming from, she's now failed... I don't know, 200 times on every single diet? Like, when are people going to finally say, okay, maybe she's not the person that we should look to? Because she's above and beyond the emotional eater.
Okay,
she's
not to get
chronic,
too deep
chronic
into this,
failure.
But isn't there some theory that people are allergic to gluten, and when they eat it, it actually creates a craving, which is why they have trouble
more so in women
sticking
too.
To diets.
More so in women, hormonally something. That,
right.
But besides,
so her theory is maybe this is my missing.
My link. Theory is she's fat.
My theory is she's
fat,
a fat, ass.
Fat, yeah. Fat, fat, fat.
Does my butt look big?
Yes.
She's a fat ass that has tons and tons of dough and doesn't really want to give up eating fat ass, fat, fat, fat food.
Well, let's see what happens.
Shut
this
up,
time.
Giant fat woman.
Exactly. Thank you, LaQuisha, for having the final word on that. Someone who's not fat, by the way, who's never been hotter than she is today. Is Christina Aguilera. I don't know if you guys have seen the photos of her lately, but she started out attractive, and she's one of those girls who every year gets 100 times hotter. And I'm not saying that just because now, thanks to breastfeeding, she has an E cup, ladies and gentlemen. Christina Aguilera is walking around with E's right now.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You don't see that often enough, I'll tell you that.
She is not a big girl.
No. She's tiny.
Yeah.
She's tiny.
However,
she's got the E's.
Her boobs, big.
Yeah, she says she loves it. In fact, it's going to be a great memory. She plans to keep the tags from her bras when she goes back down to her normal size so she can look back and go, wow, those were good times. I'm sure her husband agrees.
Remember when they were that big? You know, there's recession worries everywhere. Everybody's
oh, yeah.
all
course.
Worried about, you know, their mortgages and who knows what's going on in the economy. And advertising age has found one industry that is doing quite well. As you can imagine, it's video games. They are up 31% this year.
Well, if you don't have a job.
31%. Yeah, that's a
sit
mixture.
Home and-
it's a mixture of good games and people who are at home and can play.
Yeah.
You know, Guitar Hero 3, Call of Duty 4, Grand Theft Auto, just through the roof, and that industry is doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Hey, think about it. If you're looking at your entertainment options this weekend, are you going to pay $4 a gallon for gas and then go out and pay, you know, $10 for a movie ticket and maybe $5 for parking and then $15 for popcorn and a drink? Or you're going to stay at home and play a video game that has thousands of options and many hours of entertainment ahead of you for in your own home? It won't cost you a penny if you already have it.
It really does make sense. I mean, it's kind of a big investment for some people to begin
right.
with,
right.
but you can literally play it for years.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can shoot people without having to go to jail.
That too.
So you got that.
And let me close with one more for this hour. We got a lot of good showbiz stories today that we'll have to save. But Prince has a new band, a new female group. He used to do this a lot back in the 80s. Remember, he was a big proponent of Vanity was one of his
mm-hmm.
girls that
yeah.
he wrote songs for and produced for and everything. And, you know, choreographed. Apollonia was another one. Sheila E. was another one. He loves these girls that he puts together. And he has a new group that he wants to put together now called Honey Collective, okay?
Honey Collective.
Yes, musicians, dancers, there's a DJ. Here's what you have to do to be in the band, though. You have to take a lie detector test, first of all, and you have to truthfully say that you have been celibate for at least 3 years in order
what?
To get into the band.
What?
Why?
That you're free of all music contracts. You're not tied up anywhere else. You are able to sign with him. You have to truly love funk music, and you have to swear to it under oath, ladies and gentlemen.
Put your hand in the Bible. Do you love funk music?
He considers himself the Honey Collective mascot for performances. Prince will dress up like a bee. He'll be wearing yellow and black at the performances.
Has he been celibate for 3 years?
I doubt
is
it.
Is that what
Serious?
This is about?
I doubt it. I don't know what that means. Why
he seem to always have an awfully hot girlfriend/wife, I'll tell you that.
Huh.
But good luck finding someone for the band, by the way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome, by the way, and so sad if you're able to, you beat the lie detector on the celibacy and the contracts, but the lie detector doesn't quite believe you love funk music enough,
right.
And then you can't play.
Sorry, you don't love funk.
What?
But I've been celibate for 3 years. Don't care, you don't love funk.
You needed a 98 on the I Love Funk, and you already scored a 91. I'm sorry, you just don't love funk enough. That's what it is.
Awesome.
One of the all-time great dudes in showbiz. I've never heard anyone say a bad word about this guy. Drew Carey turns 50 years old today. So happy birthday, Drew. He is definitely one of the good ones. Of course, the host of The Price is Right on CBS. Also, Jewel, surprisingly, by the way, only 34. Didn't it seem like she must be older than that by now?
Yeah, I guess she started very young.
She started young.
Must have started way young, yeah. R&B singer Maxwell is 35. Our friend Phil Selway from the band Radiohead is 41. And Dynasty's Joan Collins turns 75, almost old enough for me. Almost old enough for me.
Another 20 years.
And that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
I don't like to be a jealous guy. It's not an attractive trait, but he gets to be in that band and bang Gwyneth Paltrow. He gets to do both of those things. I'm just saying that Chris Martin is the man.
That's one of two isn't bad.
Oh, how dare you. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. While everyone else is talking about the Indiana Jones movie in theaters now, we're going to suggest that there is an alternative at the Cineplex this weekend. It's a new film called Postal, which we're actually kind of looking forward to because we have been fascinated with its controversial director for some time. Uwe Boll joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Uwe.
Hi, good morning.
Well, it's great to have you on. You are a director who many, many people have read a lot about, even if they haven't seen the movies. You're making quite a name for yourself in our town.
Yeah, at least this.
So Postal is your latest film. What's it about, Uwe?
Yeah, Postal is a movie about trailer trash guy, basically, who lives with his 500-pound wife in a trailer park in Paradise City, the birthplace of Axl Rose. And he has a very bad day, and we have Bin Laden, we have the Taliban, we have a sect cult with Dave Foley, and we have George Bush, and everything comes together on that one day in Paradise, and it all ends in a big disaster. And it's
sounds like tough. A weird dream.
Exactly, it's tough to explain the story in an easy way. But we have, for example, Vern Troyer gets raped by monkeys. And
Hold on. Vern Troyer, Mini Me, gets raped by monkeys.
Yeah, it's a very sad ending for him.
Yeah, I'd say.
It's a crazy, over the top comedy, Yeah, I think it's really funny, but it's also very harsh and offensive and insulting. And I think I did the movie to do something different as this kind of Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell comedies we're getting every weekend.
Now, Uwe, the first time you came to my attention was when you were upset with some of the critics that were giving your movie thumbs down. You were not happy about that. And you were in the press, I think you were offering to fight them, to box the critics?
Yeah, and I did that, actually.
You did box the critics?
Yeah, we had like four guys. They all came to Vancouver, and we did a big event where like 1,000 people actually paid tickets to see that.
Okay.
And I knocked everybody out, what was for me. A little revenge was fun.
Okay.
And yeah.
But let me ask this question. Does that make the movies better?
Absolutely.
It does.
what is the boy, I have so many questions for you, Mr. Boll. First of all, let me just get this Postal question out of my mind before I forget. This one is also based on a video game, as so many of your previous movies have been, right? Like Blood Rain and In the Name of the King. This is a video game first, right?
Yeah, it's a game from Running with Scissors, and it's the only game whatever got like from all the leading video game magazines 0 points out of 10.
Beautiful. Okay, so that's why you got to take that one and turn it into a movie. I understand that. But did you add the George Bush and the Osama bin Laden and the Mini-Me and all that stuff, or is that stuff that's already also in the game?
Yeah, in the game is actually Gary Coleman and not Vern Troyer. But Gary Coleman didn't want to play this part, and I understand why. The monkeys were maybe a little scary for him in the end. But,
well, certainly.
So we took Vern Troyer. But in the game you can play also bin Laden and Bush.
Okay.
And
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Now that brings me to a clip. I do have a clip of this movie, and it's George Bush and Bin Laden. And you didn't bust the budget on the voice actors, did you? I mean, these two guys sound less like George Bush and Osama bin Laden than I do.
Okay.
Here's the clip.
Well, this is George W. Bush.
It's Osama. I need some help, man.
Should I send a couple cruise missiles down there?
No.
Please insert additional 25 seconds to continue your long call.
I was thinking maybe a helicopter to come pick me up.
Hey, that could work.
Oh, thanks, Georgie. I.
Yeah?
I just wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, wow. That does everything. That has everything.
But it's Brent Mendenhall, actually, and he plays Bush always, also like in TV and Mad TV and so on. He really looks like Bush, but I agree with the voice is not exactly matching.
You think? Yes. Don King sounds more like President Bush than that guy does.
Well, it's the spirit of the president, really, more than it is an impersonation, right. I think is what Mr. Bull is saying. Let me ask you this. When Kevin brought up the thing about the critics, I mean, there are some genres of movies that do not get taken seriously, that for whatever reason, the critics have just decided they can't be good, they won't be good. Do you think there's a bias against movies like yours that are based on video games, or do you think sometimes the people who are who are criticizing you have some legitimate points about the quality of the film?
Well, absolutely, but you have to see, first of all, I think that video game-based movies are getting bashed. There's no question about it. But on the other hand, I made movies like House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, and I totally understand that the critics are not really excited about it to see like how zombies getting shot in pieces.
Right.
But I think also that they should open their eyes for a movie like this, for example, because this movie is different and it's a video game based movie. But I think at the same time, it's one of the best satires about the whole September 11 and after mass situation, basically.
So you took, let me see if I get this right. You took a video game that gets 0 out of 10 stars.
Yeah.
And then that was your starting point. And then you made some kind of a social statement on September 11th?
Now look, we open up with the pilots in the cockpit of the September 11 machine, and they're actually played by the same actors they played the terrorists in Spielberg's Munich, and they're getting in a huge fight in the cockpit about how many virgins they're getting. In eternity.
Right, because one of them says 100, the other says 99, right? That's the clip?
Exactly. Yeah. And so they're not sure that it's true at all. So they have to call Osama, and Osama actually says that he's running out of virgins right now. It gets a little more complicated, and he has only 20 left. So, and then they actually don't want to do it anymore, but the passengers crashing in the cockpit, and because of the big fight in the cockpit, the whole thing crashes down. So and I think there are more scenes like this in the movie. They actually summarizing up the absurdity we're living in. That maybe a lot of critics don't want to see that, and they would take it only serious if Robert Redford would make the movie. It's not my fault, right? But I know that the movie is working.
I must see this movie based on the description that I've heard from Uwe. That's all there is to it. All right. We're talking to Uwe Boll, by the way. The film is called Postal. If you're just joining us, it's in the Culver City, Culver Plaza Theater and the Santa Monica Lemley Monica Fourplex. If you want to check it out today or over the Memorial Day weekend, let's ask you about one more thing, Uwe, and that is the petition. There's a petition going around online, I guess, that if enough signatures are posted, you will quit filmmaking. Was this your idea and it's part of the publicity for the film? Is this really people who are against you and really want you to stop making movies?
No, there was a petition against me, and I said, like, okay, you have only 20,000 votes, and if you have a million, I maybe stop. And then, of course, everybody started voting like
crazy. Sure.
Now they are up to 280,000. But there are also, like, I think now 22 ball petitions with, like, I think 30,000-40,000 votes, and I think the petition is basically over in a way, because now where there's a gum company, they sponsor everybody with free gums who votes against me, and I think from this point on, I cannot take it serious anymore because now they're buying basically votes against me.
But wait a minute, they're buying votes with gum?
Yeah, they said gum tried whatever. I don't know the name of that gum company, but they made a big press announcement that where they wrote or they're trying to jump on that anti-bald bandwagon and said, like, everybody gets a free gum who votes against Uwe Boll. So
we also found a video that you had put online kind of answering the critics and telling them, you know, why the million votes, you quitting, and you pretty much summarize the whole thing.
There's a petition out, stop Uwe Boll, and I said, like, if there are 1 million people on that petition, I stop actually making movies. I want that there's a petition also out there, like a pro ball petition, and I expect 1 million votes pro ball. Because look, I'm not a retard like Michael Bay or other people running around in that business, or Ellie Ross making the same movies over and over again. If you really look in my movies, you will see my real genius. So you have to really wake up and you have to see me what I am. I'm the only genius in the whole business. Goodbye.
Yeah. Dude, all right.
Wow.
Go, girl.
You go, girl. That they should be making a documentary about you, Juve.
I don't know.
That takes a special kind of someone to say, I'm the only genius in show business.
Look, if anybody says I'm the worst director of all times, I have to even it out a little. So it's there's only that way to go. And, I think in 10, 20 years, if people see what genius I was.
Uwe, we love Bad. I mean, we're fans of Bad.
We roll around in the Bad. That is true.
We do. We really appreciate Bad. The worst TV shows are the ones we watch. The worst movies are the ones we watch. Yours looks exceptionally bad.
Which makes it good.
Is it bad enough to come around and be good, or is it just bad?
No, Postal is actually, I think, a very good movie.
Very
good.
And
it's like, look, if you think backwards and you think movies like Life of Brian or Sense of Life or Blues Brothers, I don't think that this kind of movies are existing anymore. Nobody is doing that anymore because they're all so political correct today. And in every comedy I see, they're all ending up with a wedding. Yeah, so, and I don't understand it anymore. And I think, a movie what for people like me and people like, I hope a few more, like not only people like with my mentality, but where you have like really a ruthless, funny time in the theater with a lot of taboos getting broken.
Well, the film is called Postal, and it does open up today. Again, I'll mention the Culver Plaza Theater in Culver City and the Lemley Monica Fourplex in Santa Monica. A fascinating guy. Uwe Boll, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBeach on K-Rock. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. A new world record is about to go down.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wait, it's beer mug. Never mind.
He might, man. This is the one, man. Matzo balls. This is right in his wheelhouse, man. He could slay this.
Slay? Yeah.
You can't slay.
Remember the Chicken Soft Taco record he tried to do live?
He's not Mexican. He is Jewish. That's what I'm saying. He's got the built-in genetic advantage this time.
Right.
It's the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock. That comes up after the news at 7. In the meantime, 6:53, filling in for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. It's us, Kevin DeBeach. This is Memorial Day weekend, as you know, and it's more than just a day off for many people. It's more than just a blockbuster or two at the movie Cineplex, including Postal, by the way, which I really may have to see after talking to Uwe.
You're not going to see it.
This is where they do surveys like this. So, you're going to be barbecuing this Memorial Day weekend? Smithsonian Magazine wants to know if you could invite any person living or dead to your barbecue.
Oh, dear God.
Who would you pick? And I'm here to say that the people who answer this survey are lying liars who lie, because there's nobody out there who wouldn't just pack the place with hot chicks. I mean, come
right.
on.
Every guy would say Pamela Anderson.
You'd say Pam Anderson. You'd say Jessica Alba. You'd say Jessica Biel. Exactly. Instead of this, and here's their top 10 list, according to readers, again, of Smithsonian Magazine, who you'd invite to your barbecue. Number 10, Mark Twain. Now, I don't doubt that Mark Twain is a fascinating, brilliant, interesting guy. He wasn't on the tip of anyone's tongue when asked this question.
No.
I'm sorry. I reject that totally. Number 9, Albert Einstein.
No.
8, George Washington.
Guys, you have to remember, these are people that read the Smithsonian Magazine.
Good point.
I mean,
that's
the
point. Yeah.
There's no one under 80 that does that.
Now, George Washington, he's pretty cool. I think I'd invite him if I could also have Jenna Jameson. I mean, I wouldn't just have George Washington.
George has the teeth. He couldn't really eat the steak.
Number 7, Leonardo da Vinci.
The wooden teeth and terrible gums.
Leonardo da Vinci. Talk about a fascinating dude. Number 6, John Adams. 5, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, whatever.
Number 4, Jesus. And I love that Jesus is 4th.
Jesus is beat out by 3 people.
But Jesus could double your food instantly.
Yeah. Number 3, inviting to your Memorial Day barbecue, Thomas Jefferson. Number 2, Ben Franklin. Number 1, well, it's kind of bogus, but your family is number 1 on the list.
Ah, what a stupid list. Was that list alive or dead?
Yes, dead or alive.
Okay, well, I could see that. Like, I haven't seen my dad in 20 years. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, yeah, if your dad passed.
Yeah,
but,
I can understand that.
Thomas Jefferson.
But again, I'm saying there's no way Jesus gets more votes than Jessica Alba. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Jessica Alba, Scarlett Johansson, in spite of her album. The whole thing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, anyway, now you know.
Amy Winehouse is crazy.
No.
She says that her house has ghosts.
Okay.
She claims that a little boy died in her house and is now trying to take over with evil spirits that are scratching and harming her.
Oh, really? It's not her on a drug high?
Nope. It's little kid ghosts.
Wow.
Things are so bad she won't even go home until the place has been exorcised. The ghost's name? Henry. Not making that up. That all comes from her.
This is sad.
This is why I drink. This is why I drink.
Good point.
Bad news for you, Psycho Mike.
Okay.
Haley Williams. Your girlfriend, the lead singer of the band Paramore. I know you and Dave have been tussling over her for the past year or so.
Yeah.
Apparently she has a new boyfriend.
What?
The tabloids. She is dating, and I am not familiar with the young man. I know his band. Chad Gilbert from the group Newfound Glory is now dating Haley.
Of a bitch.
Do we accept that? Or
no.
Do you now need to kill Chad Gilbert from Newfound Glory?
And I really do know where they rehearse and live half the year in wow. Orange County. And I'm going down there tonight.
Okay. I would like to suggest that it doesn't matter if we accept that. That's what I'm
saying. Well, I'm just saying.
She doesn't care?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. But sometimes you'll see one of these stories and you'll appreciate and respect the dude that she chose. And you'll go, well, I can understand. If you can't be with me, you should be with him. But if the guy's a tool, then you don't want to let that stand. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
And I think Psycho Mike may need to take care of that.
You know how they're putting TV shows online now a lot more, not just on iTunes, but NBC has their shows up. You
oh,
watch
yeah,
full episodes.
Sure.
They're putting old shows up now at certain spots. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that CBS is the latest network to run vintage TV shows free online.
Like what? Mm-hmm.
There's like hundreds of them.
The Love Boat.
Right.
And if you never saw 1990s or 91's Twin Peaks.
Oh, no kidding.
That's worth checking
that's
out.
That's kind of cool.
Because that series was effed up.
Yeah.
It sure was. I can't believe Uwe Boll didn't make it.
Me too.
As effed up as it was. There's a site you ought to check out that's getting better every day called Hula.com that has thousands of TV shows up there.
Is that with a J?
H.
No, Hula with an H.
Oh, H?
H-U-L-A.
Okay.
Got to check that out. I mean, it's unbelievable. Great quality, great selection, too. And that one just went live a few months ago, and it is becoming very popular.
Can you download them, or is it just streaming?
I think it's just streaming. Yeah. It is funny how many people. I mean, some of the numbers that I've seen on some of these shows, like The Hills, I think, is one of them that's a perfect example. They get X number of viewers on the TV, and then the number that they get online is getting close to or surpassing people who are watching it on TV now. It's just unbelievable how big some of these shows are getting online. Soon you won't need a television at all, I guess, is where we're headed. Happy couple, Reese Witherspoon and Jake Gyllenhaal back in the news. You know, Kenny Kingston, who's the famous psychic, he tells Ireland Online that Reese and Jake, and I love these psychics when they do this, were together in a former life during World War I. She was a medic and he was a doctor, says Kenny. Apparently, because of the war, they were separated too soon, and now the reason they're together in 2008 is they need to complete the relationship in this life.
Yay!
Does it say in the story if anyone told him to shut the F up?
It doesn't.
All right.
But these psychics continue to remain popular, and people continue to pay them and go to them to hear stories like this.
Oh.
And every single person that I've ever talked to or heard about or seen interviewed that has gone to one of these, they always come out and go, yeah, I was some sort of I was some sort of an emperor in Rome. No one ever comes out and says, yeah, I was just a dirt poor, stupid farmer who died at 28.
It was just a douchebag that got put to death, and rightfully so. You never hear him
exactly.
say that.
Exactly. So, anyway, that's the story with Reese and Jake.
Minka Kelly.
Ah!
I only bring this up because Psycho Mike and Bean clearly way in love with her. She's on the show Friday Night Lights, or
she's
was?
Lila.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is. Was. Sources tell the New York Post, page 6 gossip column, that Derek Jeter is trying to land her. Derek Jeter.
Really?
New York Yankee.
Bean is trying to land her as well, by the way.
And who has a better shot? Let's see here.
And finally, Madonna. I did not see the interview, but she was on Nightline last night, and one of the topics that came up is her looks. And we've talked a lot lately about how Madonna at 50 has turned into beef jerky.
She looks like beef jerky. She really does look like gristle.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the transcript with the Nightline interviewer. Madonna, I don't look at old pictures of myself. Nightline, you don't? Like from the old days? Madonna, I don't look at pictures of myself from last week. Once I've approved of them, they're gone. Nightline, so you don't feel any competition with the Madonna of old? Madonna, I like the way I look better now.
What?
Nightline, what do you like better? Madonna, my thighs aren't as chubby. I'm not kidding. I'm being perfectly honest with you. So that's where Madonna's coming
Can
from.
Can we disagree wholeheartedly?
Well, she likes the way she looks, so it takes a lot of work to look like that, so she must like it.
I guess, but she used to be kind of hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in the days of like a virgin and stuff like that, she was considered kind of hot, right?
Well, she's also, you know, 25. But
right.
you don't see it as often in women as you do with men. But I think Madonna has gotten to the point, tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, where her body fat seems like it's too low and it doesn't look healthy anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that it's also that it's too low year round, and then she combos that with like extreme tanning a lot of the times, and she's a white person by nature,
right?
So it gives it this like leathery, like Kevin said, gristle or beef jerky. It's a perfect.
She looks like a purse,
you know,
you know, a handbag of some kind.
She kind of does, yeah. Her body looks like Sarah Jessica Parker's face. Is I think what we're dealing with here.
Have you heard the second single off of her new CD?
What's it called?
Not the Justin Timberlake one, but the next one. I don't know what it's called, but listen to this.
That's Scarlett Johansson, actually.
She's losing it.
That's actually just Scarlett Johansson. That's not Madonna at all, Kevin.
What's that?
It's not Madonna at all. That's Scarlett Johansson. That's from her new album.
My bad.
It sucked.
Well, that's true. That's my album. Celebrity birthdays today. Host of The Price is Right, one of the good guys in this town, Drew Carey. Happy birthday, Drew. You are 50 today. Also, singer Jewel, who, by the way, is 100% wholeheartedly now in country music. That's what she does now.
She is, isn't she?
Got a country record coming out, and that's where she's playing, and those festivals she's on and everything else. So she was one of the hottest guests we ever had on the show when she came in, by the way.
Yeah.
Couldn't have looked
And remember when we did the breakfast with her and we did it in pajamas? Remember that?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
In that little bar place. Franklin,
wow, I forgot
it?
About that. Yeah. Pajama party.
I didn't
Good
forget.
Good times. R&B singer Maxwell is 35, one of those guys who actually works the six-pack. Phil Selway from Radiohead is 41. You guys remember the MTV VJ Karen Duffy?
Sure.
Who you still see on shows from time to time. She's 42, still looks pretty good. And actress Joan Collins turns the big 75. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 12 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Woo!
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Very excited to watch Beer Mug fail for another, attempt another Guinness World Record for eating challenges. How did this whole thing get started? Was Mug mouthing off one day? Is that what led us to this conclusion that he was the guy to try these records?
I don't know, but I'm sure he was. I mean, that's Mugs.
Yeah, I think it was the hot dogs that we got delivered, the Pink's hot dogs when they came in. I was like, I can do like, I wonder how many I could do in like 10
minutes. And then we bet on how many he could do. We weren't trying to set a record, but we bet on credits on how many he could do. And, you know, he did less than everyone thought.
But we did not give up hope at that point.
No.
We thought it's just not the right product.
Exactly.
We'll
That's
find
right.
some other kind of food.
And sure.
I am very near the end of my patience for this band. I got to be honest with you.
How
if you
dare
don't,
you?
If you don't really start delivering, then this one may go to the trash bin of history. I'm sorry.
We do not stop this until we get a record. That's what
exactly.
I'm saying.
All right. What has he failed at so far, Kevin, before we start this morning's challenge?
We did the powdered donuts. He failed at that.
Mm-hmm. Fail.
Okay.
I wish I had my list with me. He did,
bananas.
He had, he got through one banana.
We did the Peeps.
The Peeps, those little Easter plastic candies.
Yeah.
The one that he failed the worst at, though, is at Cinco de Drinco, and that was the chicken soft tacos.
Yeah.
Fail.
The record was 48 in, I don't know, 11 minutes or something, and he did 8.
Actually, percentage-wise, the one he failed at the most was milkshake.
Oh,
that's right, yeah.
Smoked in milkshake.
17-ounce milkshake in, I think, 9.7 seconds or something like that, and he didn't get anywhere near that.
In fact, if I recall correctly, that day, the milkshake drank his milkshake, if I recall correctly, is what happened.
Chicken nuggets he did poorly at.
Fail.
I ate more while watching him eat them then.
So here's what we've decided to do. We've decided that because Beer Mug is Jewish, we'll throw him a bone. We'll give him a gimme.
A milk-to-fish?
Jews don't eat bones, Kevin. That doesn't make any sense.
That's not what I'm saying. So, matzo balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
The record for eating matzo balls.
Do something like that.
Jews.
Exactly.
The record for eating matzo balls is 21 baseball-sized matzo balls.
No.
In 5 minutes and 25 seconds.
Is that just like a mouthful of dough?
It looks like
Oh, my God.
It looks like dough in the size of a baseball.
They're enormous.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I was excited about today's challenge. Dave told me on Wednesday what I was going to be doing today.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I got this. This is the food of my people.
Exactly. That's why we picked it.
Yeah, and I think that'll help greatly.
Because we're getting depressed at your lack of lack of progress.
You can't get depressed at my effort, though.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Last
your
time
effort,
you did
yes.
it, you were in no hurry whatsoever.
So, have you Have you fixed the swallowing problem?
That's what he said.
I have not really been training on the swallowing thing.
Okay, here's the thing about Muggs. For those of you that haven't heard this before, he tries to set an eating record, and he, for some reason, physically can't swallow. So basically, he jams his cheeks full of whatever, and then he's out.
Well, my last challenge with the chicken nuggets, I had severe heartburn like 5 seconds into it. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, okay. All
right. Okay, but that's a lame excuse because Kevin's right. There's a fundamental flaw in your technique, and that is that you stuff your face full of food and then refuse to swallow so that you can then put more in. That's what you need to start doing is swallowing, okay?
Okay.
That's what he said. All right. Here's what we're going to do.
Can we just say that, can you not make a mess? Because we all want to try matzo balls after, so don't ruin the rest of them.
I can't promise anything, all right, Dave.
All right, let's set the record, people. Come on now.
Eating challenges are the name of his game. He has never won one. He is super lame. He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug? Easter pizza or hot dogs, you know he'll never quit. K-Rock's Kevin even made him taste poor sh**. He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug?
All right. What is the current record? Who held it? How many did they eat in what time, Kevin?
5 minutes and 25 seconds.
Okay.
And they ate 21 baseball-sized matzo balls. 21.
Got 21 baseball-sized matzo balls sitting right in front of me.
Got them right there.
Was this a girl also, like so many of the previous records that Mug has tried?
No, this is some dude named Eric Booker.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric.
All right, Mug. Mug, you ready?
Yes, I am reclining, as my people do during Jewish feasts, and I have a nice, modest Yahoo neckbeard going, so maybe that'll help me.
I'm going to give you to you. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, and chug.
It took a giant bite of the first one, chewing it.
Oh, this is not going to go well.
I'm not going to lie. It's really hot.
Yeah, it looks like it's too hot.
It's too hot.
It looks like he's burning his mouth. All right, another bite. Still working on the first one. He's about a third of the way through the first one. I think he's making good progress.
Well, that's not a bad pace because he's only 20 seconds into the record. So if he could eat.
But Mug, you have to swallow before you take another bite. Okay.
Swallow.
Oh, he has a glass of water.
Yeah, help wash it down, dude, because it's really doughy. Come on.
All right, another drink. Mouthful. He's actually
still on that first one, though, huh?
He's actually getting some of the matzo balls down, though, Bean. I mean, well, some. By some, I mean part of one.
See, I was going to just go for two. Bet that he could do two. So
you're pretty close.
Well, the point is that he's at 55 seconds already. He hasn't finished the first one, and it's only a 5-minute and 25-second challenge. So
he's right on
at this. Yeah, if the record were 5, he'd be pretty much on pace right now. But if the record is 21, then he fails.
Should we just stop right now?
Nope. Let's let him keep going. I tell you what we need to do. Let's let Mug continue to stuff. Let's play a couple of spots and come back and for the thrilling conclusion as Beer Mug sets yet another Guinness Book of World Records. The guy's phenomenal. He can't be stopped.
And by yet another, you mean his first?
Well, we're hoping.
All right, we'll be right back.
25 seconds left till 5:25. Where's Beer Mug?
We're not going to tell you. He's so close to setting the record.
Really?
Okay. The record for matzo balls is 21 baseball-sized matzo balls in 5 minutes and 25 seconds.
15 seconds.
We're into the final countdown.
Chew, chew, chew. And swallow.
Swallow,
10 seconds.
Oh! No.
Okay, that's a bit of a reversal.
No spitting.
5, 4, 3, two, one, time!
Oh, you just spit it all out.
Oh,
Beer Mug.
Okay, so the record was 21 matzo balls in 5 minutes and 25 seconds. The grand total.
Yes, count them all up. Make sure you got it all.
Was 2 1/4. 2 1/4. Didn't even get through 2.5. Record 21.
Today, your performance has shaken my belief in the Jewish people.
Mug, come on. Two?
Two matzo balls.
What happened, dude?
They were hot.
That's the problem. Hey,
other than that, you would have made the record?
This is a mess.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm starting to worry about this.
It sucked.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I don't think he's ever going to make it.
His spots on.
You're a talented son of a bitch.
Well, he tried anyway.
We're all a little disappointed because Beer Mug just missed the Guinness record.
Yeah, if you just joined us, man, was it close. He went right down to the wire, but he can always try again.
Matt wrote us, Dear Kevin and Bean, look at it this way. As long as Beer Mug keeps trying, he can at least have the record for the most failed attempts at beating an eating record.
That's true.
Didn't think about that. That's a great idea.
We need, let's give the King of Mexico some homework over the long holiday weekend and have him take a Guinness Book of World Records home and scour every page of those eating records and see if there's one that just looks like it's ready to topple, because clearly we're overreaching for Beer Mug right now.
By the way, the bananas peeling and eating,
yeah,
and the powdered donuts, I mean, they both of those seemed beatable.
I watched
low numbers, yeah.
I watched the video of the guy doing the bananas,
yeah.
One of them, and he basically just slid them down his throat.
That's
what
really
she said. Chew him.
Wish it was a
particularly.
Girl.
So,
all right, so we got to find something easy.
So if
a gimme.
Can't swallow, we're kind of screwed.
We need a slam dunk. We need a gimme.
Yeah.
We do.
But,
all right. All right. Let's move on. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It is 727. Ask a CSI, a crime scene investigator, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Also, our old friend Mr. Movie Phone fills in for Ralph Garman on the Movie Beat today. He'll be talking about Indiana Jones. And I think he's got a preview, maybe, Lisa, I understand, of Sex and the City for next weekend for you, too.
I think he's
got something to say about that. First, though, here's a topic we haven't done in quite some time, and I love this. So listen up. We're going to be looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. All of us had a life before we met our current partner. Before we walked down the aisle or got involved in a long-term relationship, we had stuff that we did that maybe we don't talk about, maybe that doesn't come up anymore. And what we're fascinated with and the calls that we're going to be looking for is your long-term partner or husband or wife. You found out something after you guys were already together for a long time about that person that you never imagined. It had never come up. Maybe they had another family. Maybe they served hard time. Any number of crazy things that could have happened
but
in the
past,
right?
But you've been with them long enough that you can't imagine that didn't come up at some point.
Right. Honey, could you have brought up the 200 porn movies you made when you lived in Africa?
Yeah.
Could you have brought that up, for instance? You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm really angry at you, honey. Is this about the dog fighting? Oh. No, it's not that? Okay, sorry.
Well, the reason we started talking about this is that maybe this is one of those things that somebody kept from you and it turned out to be good news, is that in the news last week was Prince Peter of Britain. He is the eldest son of Princess Anne. He is the eldest grandson of Queen Elizabeth. And the young woman that he ended up marrying, who's a Canadian, I think, by the way, the young woman he ended up marrying, they were telling their story, and they apparently were together for several months before he ever said to her, oh, by the way, my grandmother is the Queen of England.
Yeah, you know the royal family? I'm in that.
She had no idea?
No idea.
You've heard of them? Because he's 11th in line to the throne, so he's so far down that it's not like he gets a tremendous amount of press exposure. It's not like it's Prince William or somebody that everybody would recognize his face because you see him in the newspapers all the time.
But they don't have security or somebody around him? They don't care if he gets kidnapped?
Well, when you're 11th, I guess not.
But he's the queen's grandson.
Yeah. Yeah. So at some point, the conversation had to come up, and maybe it was after they'd been together for a couple months, and she said, hey, what do you do? Where are you from? Why have I not met your family? I don't know how it came up, but that's the type of thing that we're talking about is – and I guess in his case, you can understand maybe why that's not what he leads with, because – you know, he may be worried that people would be trying to get close to him just because of his family.
Just because he's 11th in line?
Well, yeah. But maybe that's why, in his case, he didn't bring it up. But it does get us into the topic of surprises that you found out pretty far down the road.
And don't surprises that you find out pretty far down the road, don't those give you a huge pause? Don't you go, wow, I thought I knew and
it does.
I didn't all this time?
And
what
your
else?
Next question is, what else?
What else don't I know?
What else
is this
going to
be a bad relationship?
I'm just being taken for a big ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, you hate that bitch, the queen, so you can't be happy about that.
How dare you, first of all. But I can understand. I mean, most of the people who are going to be calling are going to be with bad news.
Sure.
Because most people, if they've got something great that happened in their life, it does come up because it's a happy memory and it's something they enjoy talking about. Look, I understand the people who are 25 years past doing time in San Quentin, for instance. I understand why that's not a topic that they're eager to bring up. And I understand how you could get into a relationship and you're this new reformed person and they don't think of you as a convicted felon. And there's no real right time to say, oh, by the way, I once shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Right, and how do you bring it up? I mean, you know.
And how do you bring it up?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I used to have a job as a waitress. Yeah, right after I got out of San Quentin, I was, what? What did you just say about that whole San Quentin thing?
All right, let's take a couple calls real quick before the break, and then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Whoops, that's not the right button. Let's try this one. Let's try Richard in L.A. He's on line one. This is maybe the sort of thing that we're talking about. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, guys, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi.
What was the secret you found out after being with her for a while?
All right. I was engaged to this chick, and we were about to get married. And for our 2-year anniversary, I took her to Vegas. She ends up owing so much money, I have to sell my car to pay off her debt. But that's not the worst of it.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
So she has She has a gambling problem that went way back, or she just lost that much in one trip?
This is way back. She had a real big gambling problem. I didn't know this
until
we went to Vegas. I ended up having to sell my car to pay off her debt, and on the way back, she tells me, yeah, I actually owe like $50,000 to like a bunch of casinos.
How do you owe money to casinos? Don't you have to gamble with cash?
Yeah, but it ends up that she started taking like IOUs and stuff like that from other companies. So basically, she owes the money to the casinos, but it's through like middlemen. Like people let her borrow money.
Oh,
and then
excellent.
Well, I'd never go back to Vegas.
That's
if
the
I
way
were
you want to do it, by the way, is go to middlemen.
And then, yeah, that's what killed it. I asked her, I was like, why do you spend so much money? She was like, I don't know. I just like how it feels to like waste money.
So did you end up marrying her?
No, dude, like, I was about to in, like, a couple of months, and then she told me like this, and I was like, I didn't have a problem with her gambling. I was like, well, just never go to Vegas. And then later on, she tells me, yeah, but I'm, like, $50,000 in debt. I was like, I can't marry you.
That's a deal breaker, dude.
Yeah.
If she likes to waste money, you know, whatever you make, she's going to take and gamble it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad call.
And here's what's great. She took the ring, and I think she hawked it to try to pay off either some of the debt, or she used it.
She didn't hawk it to pay off debt. She gambled with it.
I never got the damn ring back.
Well, it's good that you found that out before you were married, I guess. Thanks for the call, Richard.
We appreciate it. We'll take some more calls, 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about things that you found out about people that you thought you knew well.
Yeah, longtime girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. Maybe it comes up 15 years into the thing. Oh, yeah, I used to be. Oh, yeah, I used to eat. Oh, yeah, I used to do. Fill in the blank. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Spencer in Mission Viejo. He's on line 8. Spencer's exactly what we're talking about here. Hey, Spence, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
All right, what'd you find out?
So I was dating this chick after high school for a while, probably about 6 months or so, and one of her old friends ended up going out drinking with him, and he ended up telling me that she was the class slut.
Oh, good.
She apparently ran through the entire basketball team in a week.
Wow.
Oh, God.
That takes some dedication in a week.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
So,
Ed, well, it just made her better, right?
Well, they do it in an octagon and just tag out. All right, come on in, dude.
It was all at the same time, but I definitely know it was in within the same week.
Yes.
Wow.
And how did that conversation go when you brought up to her that you'd found that out?
Not very well, and I ended up making her take me to go get tested. And then after that, she drove me home, and I broke up with her.
Nice.
That was it. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Spencer. That is not something you want to find out, I don't think. Let's go to Jim in Van Nuys. Good morning, Jim.
Morning.
What'd you find out about your ex-wife?
This is something.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Nicely
done. It's been a while. Woo! Kind of missed it.
Nicely done. Nick in Costa Rica. Costa Rica?
No.
Are you listening in Costa Rica, Nick?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're listening online. Okay.
Wow,
hell
cool.
Yeah. All right. What's going on, dude?
Well, I got married with my second wife. She was Japanese. And she was pregnant, and then I found out that she was part of her family was Yakuza.
Uh-oh.
What's Yakuza?
That's
is that like mafia?
Gang, right?
That's the mob.
Yep.
Nice.
Sweet. So you were very, very good to her from that point on, right?
It was a good relationship, but it was a little stressful at that point.
I would think. I would think. You're having a kid, your parents and grandparents are in the mafia. Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Alexis, who is calling us from Anaheim. Good morning, Alexis.
Hey, what's up?
Strange things you found out about somebody you thought you knew better than that.
I was dating this guy that I knew from high school, and about 4 months into the relationship, found out he was a drug dealer.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
How'd you find out?
Every month, him and his brother would lock themselves in the room and, like, for hours doing stuff. And finally, one day, there was a big, huge duffel bag in his room, and I decided to look, and it was just filled with pot.
Wow, you hit the mother load. Did you just drop a match in there and go bye-bye for a while?
I'm such, like, a goody-goody. Like, I'm like, you know, never did drugs, never, you know, got drunk or anything. So I was like, wow, like, I don't want to date you anymore. And then a couple weeks later, I get a call, and he's, like, asking me to bail him out of prison.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good times. Good times.
Right. Excellent.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Ken in Culver City. He's on line one this morning. We're talking about those bad surprises, usually bad surprises. Can be a good surprise, too. I'm still waiting for the call that's like Hurley's on Lost. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you I won $350 million in the lottery, but we haven't had that one yet. Hi, Ken. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, at around 19 years old, I started dating my wife. And after a couple years, we got serious. I had found out that she was already married at 14, a Cambodian traditional marriage.
Married at 14?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did she have what she considered a husband still?
Good question. You know what?
How can you not ask that?
I mean, was it something that she did because she had to, because of her parents, but it didn't mean anything to her and she wasn't in touch with the guy anymore?
At that time, I never asked. All I knew is they separated, and I knew it wasn't legal in America, so.
Did she go on the road with R. Kelly, or just
appear in his videos?
Thank you for the call.
Wow. By the way, Ken may lack follow-up questions.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Aren't those some of the things you might ask right up front?
I would think you would want to follow up on some of this stuff.
Definitely.
Apparently not. Let's go to David in Burbank. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
What'd you find out that surprised you?
Well, basically, I ended up dating my high school sweetheart for a couple of years, ended up marrying her, having two kids. About a year later into the marriage, ended up finding out from a couple of friends that she used to be having sex for money.
She was a prostitute.
Wait, you were dating her in high school?
Yes.
And then married her. When was she doing this?
Maybe a couple of months before I met her.
In high school?
In high school?
Yes.
Wow. She must have been good.
Okay.
No kidding. So let me ask you this. Did she really give it up when she started dating you, or do you think that she was hooking while you guys were together as well?
I'd rather think about it the first way.
Yeah.
I bet you would.
I got news for you, though, David. She's still hooking.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still with her?
Yes, we are. Still after a lot of alcohol and counseling, yes, we are.
Alcohol and counseling, yeah.
Well, good for you then. I hope it works out for you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Horse.
Right.
Horse is right. That's a good point, Rodney. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56. We have a new Ask A series coming up just after the top of the hour. We're going to do Ask a CSI.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Crime scene investigator. So we'll
are those guys doctors? Are they cops and doctors? Are they cops and scientists? What are they? What do you have to be a CSI?
If only,
imagine a scientist.
If only we had one that we could ask.
Why am I asking a disc jockey when we have a guy who actually does it for a living in the next room? Okay.
A disc jockey that barely remembers his name. You're asking me if they're doctors or scientists.
All right. So that'll be coming up next half hour. Plus Mr. Movie Phone with the Movie Beat talking all things Indiana Jones coming up this morning. First, Ralph's on vacation. This is the final day of the Kevin and Bean Showbiz Report. Let's start with the lovely Denise Richards, who really is one of the frostiest chicks we've ever had the opportunity to interview over the years. I mean, the temperature drops like 35 degrees when you get around this gal.
We did. We talked to her face-to-face, and she's hot. Don't get us wrong. But she's cold.
Hot on the outside, cold on the inside. Yeah. I don't know how that works. But she's got a new reality show that debuts Sunday night. It's on the E! Channel, right, Lisa? Is that who's got it? I think it's on E! Maybe. Is that sound right?
I think that is right. I think they're both on E!
Okay, yeah, that and the Dina Lohan show are both debuting this Sunday night. Well, Denise Richards has been all over the place doing press for this new reality TV show. She got a lot of controversy, remember, at the time when we first started hearing about her doing the show because her little kids are on it and her husband didn't want them to be and everything. She says, look, I've just got to support my family. I'm a single mom. I've got to do what I can to make a living. Well, now it comes out, according to an insider talking to the New York Post, that she receives, check this out. And by the way, when you hear this, you may try to marry Charlie Sheen next. She gets $52,000 per month for child support. She also is getting $60,000 a month in alimony and over $1 million a year in residuals from Two and a Half Men, Charlie Sheen's TV show.
Wow.
That is an abuse of the law, don't you think? I mean, everybody understands what that law is for.
Right.
She makes a living. She was an actress.
Yeah.
$52,000 a month.
A month.
For child support. And should be enough for anyone for life, let alone another $60,000 and a million.
Those kids aren't even in school yet.
Wow. Yeah,
they're
could
real young.
Possibly
they're
be spending
young.
That money
F you, I mean, you effing bitch.
You could argue that the 52 and the 60 would keep her in the lifestyle to which she had become accustomed, which I think is the phrase you always hear bandied about in cases like this.
You mean the lifestyle that she had before she met him? That lifestyle?
Well,
In Denise Richards' case, probably not. She probably wasn't making Charlie Sheen bucks, that's for sure. But
he's a bitch.
I don't understand the more than $1 million a year in residuals from Two and a Half Men. I mean, that to me is Charlie's work that he gets paid for, and it doesn't seem like any of that ought to be going to her. But it would be looked at, if you're a lawyer, you look at that and go, well, that's income that came into the marriage unit, and they're equally entitled to it.
How about the whores?
Well, I don't know about that. She also, in one of her recent interviews, said that she did not, in fact, steal Heather Locklear's husband, Richie Sambora, which would, which is kind of the opposite of what the timeline is that we all understood. She also said that the reports that she was asking Charlie Sheen for a sperm donation so that she could have a third child was not true. And that one always seemed a little bit crazy to me.
Yeah.
To tell you the
Charlie
truth.
Sheen says he has emails to prove that.
Yeah,
why
I'm looking forward to that.
Why would she want his sperm?
Her ass, yeah, she hated
she
him.
She hates him, yeah.
Liars.
Here's Charlie, by the way, in his statement. He says, the mere fact that she continues to publicly discuss and harass both Brooke and me, which is his current fiance, 3 years after our separation, which for the record is longer than the actual length of the marriage, is beyond desperate and speaks volumes. So that is not a happy divorced couple right there.
Jeez, what a bitch.
Little pussy midget Prince back in the news. A lot of you saw him at Coachella on Saturday night. Apparently he brought down the house. He really, really put on a show.
And did a cover of Radiohead's Creep, too, by the way, which you can see on YouTube and is well worth seeking out.
Which you used to be able to see on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have there been some changes?
Oh. Yep, and has been taken down pretty much everywhere. If you have a link for that, I would like to see that. But he's starting another girl group. Another group. He's calling it Honey Collective. Bean, tell us, he used to, back in the day when Prince, like in the 80s, he used to make girl, and I always thought it was girl bands from chicks who were hot so he could bang them.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
was my whole thing.
Well, he was banging,
he did, right?
I know he was banging Vanity when he put her band together, and they're the ones that did that song Nasty Girl, if you remember that. He also was banging Apollonia, who you recall was his co-star in Purple Rain. He was banging her, and he put a band together for her. And then he had Sheila E., who's a tremendously talented musician in his own right, but he did a lot with her with writing songs and producing her and getting her out on stage and stuff. So now I guess he's going back to that. He's putting a new girl group together, right?
He is. He's putting a new girl group together called Honey Collective. And there are three things that they have to do to qualify to be in the band. And all three, well, two out of the three are crazy. One is they've been celibate for 3 years.
What?
Why does that have any impact on whether you can make music or not?
I don't have any idea. Unless he thinks they'll be free of relationship-like troubles?
Oh, maybe that's it.
But celibate, really?
Or so just if they really want him because they
had a one-night stand a year and a half ago. They're out. They can't be in this band. Not with Prince.
Wow.
Yeah. Number two, you can kind of understand. They're free of all contracts. Record contracts and whatever.
Okay.
And number three, and somehow he's going to be able to test this, they truly love funk music. Really, really. They don't just like it. They love it.
All right. How much do you love the funk, though?
Right. Do you love it this much? And then he pulls down his pants.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I love, my favorite part of that is that Prince will perform with the girls and he'll be dressed up as a bee. That's my favorite part. They're the Honey Collective and he'll be showing up in a black and yellow bee outfit.
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Well,
right. Maybe they will.
Possibly. And finally, Oprah Winfrey is getting headlines again for her latest diet.
I'm so fat.
Yeah. Why? Look, I understand you've got a struggle with weight, and I understand it's part of what makes you relatable to so many of your viewers, but why should anyone listen to you, Oprah, when you have failed at every single diet you've ever promoted on your show in the past?
Because, does my butt look big?
Because everyone who does diet and is looking to her for advice has also failed.
Right, but she has every advantage. She has the money. She has the personal chefs.
Right.
Every reason, and if she can't make it work, then shut your trap about diets.
But sometimes that's not... You know, it's your emotions and stuff. It's learning to control yourself.
I'm so fat.
As opposed to having all of those benefits.
Right, but she should come on her TV and she should say, this is the last time I'm ever going to talk about my weight because I do not have the skills necessary to help you lose weight because I can't do it myself for any length of time.
I am a failure. Find your own diets.
I know what you're saying, but I'm telling you people, eat this stuff up.
See what you did?
I'm so fat.
I'm Elizabeth Taylor,
and I'm going to tell you how to stay married. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. Anyway, the latest diet sounds like something that Psycho Mike might endorse, actually. She calls it the 21-day detox diet. She says no caffeine, no sugar, no gluten. And I guess gluten is an important part of this. She says that that's really what's going to help you. No alcohol, no meat, no chicken, no fish, no eggs,
no cheese.
I'm out on every level, every single level.
No, you know what? I'm fine with the no meat, no cheese, no eggs, although I like my eggs and my cheese. But I couldn't
then
give up
Then you're not fine with it.
But I mean, I understand. I couldn't give up my gluten, my sugar, and my alcohol.
I don't know what gluten is, but I'm not giving that up either.
I'm so fat.
Come on.
I'm so fat.
Fat girl's fat.
I'm so fat.
Even though there's that long list of things you can't eat, here's Oprah's quote. I can honestly say that every meal was a surprise and a delight on this diet, beginning with breakfast of strawberry rhubarb wheat-free crepes, which are not really something that most of us have laying around or have access to.
That sounds horrible.
Well, you go to Whole Foods, you buy all the stuff.
No.
It does sound bad.
You don't get your diet advice from someone who's fat. I mean, really. Should I have a camp to show people how to play professional football?
You don't get
it from someone
who's been skinny all their life either.
Of course not, but you do it from somebody who used to be fat and learned how to get the weight off and take it
maybe
off.
Maybe this will be the time.
Oh, dear.
Shut
this is her,
this
is her 500th. This is her 500th diet that she's promoted. Lisa, look.
One
do you want
day.
Me to start giving you workout advice? Do you want Psycho Mike to start giving you advice on how to get people to like you? I mean, come on. You just don't go to the wrong
if
people for this.
If something might work one day, okay, let's wait until that happens before she gives us advice.
Mike, aren't there trainers who are great trainers but aren't necessarily in the best shape? I mean, you can have all of the knowledge without actually doing it, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
No kidding.
Sorry,
I'd like to see you, Lisa,
but I can't see you now that you're in the basement.
Exactly.
Fat.
You can't stand up for Oprah on this show, A. And B, this is the last thing you should want to stand up for her on.
Can't hear you, sorry. Price is Right host Drew Carey turns 50 today. If you're listening, Drew, I know you do sometimes. Happy birthday to you. You're a good dude. Also, country singer, now country singer, formerly pop and rock singer Jewel turns 34. R&B artist Maxwell is 35. And our friend Phil Selway from the band Radiohead turns 41. That's the K-Rock Show Biz Beat. I'm very excited about our next guest because we ripped off our friend Gustavo Arellano with his Ask a Mexican successful column, and then we've translated it to K-Rock. And then we started having all sorts of Ask Us. And it's been a while since I've been as excited as I am about today. Please welcome Chris Kraft to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's
Chris Cross. Kevin, this is Chris Kraft, different guy.
What?
That's not what this is. Chris Kraft is a forensic specialist with the Whittier Police Department. Ladies and gentlemen, Ask a CSI on deck today. Morning, Chris. How are you, dude?
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
We're doing great. Thank you for joining us. How long have you been a crime scene investigator?
Well, with the Whittier Police Department, a little over 11 years.
Okay. How does one get into that line of work? Was your interest in science or in police work or what?
Well, actually, I was going to be a police officer. I went to the police academy, which you do not have to do. It ended up having a couple injuries. The department I was working for at the time, Fountain Valley, gave me an opportunity to work at the crime lab there. And back in 1997, I went and transferred to the Whittier Police Department, where I'm presently at.
So you're not a cop. You're not an officer.
No. We don't carry guns. We don't wear bulletproof vests.
You're not a scientist either.
I'm not a scientist. No.
So you're in no way trained to do this job.
Not at all. I just want to come say hi to you guys.
All right. Good. Okay. We were
thanks
talking
for
about
stopping
this
by.
Off the air. You can take. You can major, I think, in criminal science in college, can't you?
Yes. If you wanted to do this job, you need to have a science degree, and it depends on really what field you want to go into. Firearms would be physics. DNA or serology, you're going to need a biology degree.
Oh.
For your chem analysis, narcotics analysis, you're going to need a chemistry degree.
So what's criminal science?
Well, criminal science?
I thought that was a degree.
Well, it's criminal justice. It's more of an administration of justice degree. That's if you want to be like a police officer or a street cop.
Okay.
So are you saying, Chris, that there's all sorts of different kinds of CSI guys depending on whether the emphasis is on blood or on trajectory or whatever? It's not one guy who does it all?
No, there's not one guy that does it all. What I do and the couple guys that are with my department do, we just do the crime scene work out in the field, photography, evidence collection, evidence analysis, and documentation of the scene, some minor work back at the lab for processing for latent fingerprints, processing for DNA, stuff like that. And then the rest of the stuff we send out to the county crime lab where they're serologists, they're firearms experts, whatnot. That's where the scientists – do their work.
And they get back to you anytime from 11 to 13 years from now.
Exactly.
Now, let me just clarify. Out of all those ways that you talked about becoming a CSI agent, you have none of them. Well, all those degrees?
Well, no, I'm currently working at, I haven't finished my biochem degree. It's been
so the
quite
some
years, so the answer is no.
Okay. Wow, Mike Wallace, back off. The guy's a guest. Come on.
I just want to check and see, that's all.
Chris has over 700 hours of training in crime scene investigation, just so you know, Kevin. So the guy is certainly qualified. Now, I would imagine what, of course, there's so many questions, and we're going to be taking them from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. But I would imagine that you have to have the certain kind of stomach to go to crime scenes immediately after the person is dead. Has it ever been difficult for you? Have there ever been situations where you walked in and you said, man, I don't know if this is really the line of work for me after what I'm looking at in front of me right now?
Not really. I've been doing it for a number of years and sort of become numb to it.
What about early on?
Early on, not really. It's you're so stressed out there to get the job done, to make sure that you haven't overlooked anything. And a lot of times we're dealing with evidence that's microscopic, trace evidence, whatnot, latent fingerprints that are hidden. And everything.
What does latent mean? I'm sorry.
Latent means hidden.
Hidden.
It means,
okay.
It means to be processed or developed in order to preserve it.
I got you.
In order to properly document it for court purposes, also for trial, just a lot of things going on there all
very
at once.
Technical.
Very technical.
So you're concentrating on so much other stuff, you can't notice that there's a cut-off head right there.
The big picture doesn't really happen.
Yeah, you know the body's there. You do have to look at that and analyze that with the coroner's investigator when they get there. But for the most part, it's just you're doing your job. You try and disassociate it for at least that number of minutes.
Right, you have to.
Yeah.
How long on average is somebody dead before you show up at the scene?
Sometimes it's just been a few hours. Sometimes it's been a few days. Sometimes it's been a few weeks.
If things get slow, do you kill people and then call it in?
Usually not, because then I have to work it, and I'm pretty good with the overtime as it is. So.
Okay. It's more of a Dexter situation. Yeah.
You watch that Dexter show?
No, but a lot of the guys at work think I am Dexter. I am not.
That's not a compliment.
My wife's still alive. So
you understand that he's a serial killer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Chris, what kinds of scenes do you go to? Sometimes it'll be a guy who gets shot in an apartment building, but sometimes is it, you pull a body out of the river or you go to a car accident? I mean, is there a wide variety of things that you're called to?
Yeah, there is a lot. We'll get calls from the residential burglaries or robberies all the way up to traffic fatalities. We'll respond to pedestrians versus trains a lot, because we have a couple of Metrolink and Amtrak.
Who wins that one,
that's
generally?
That's not much of a battle, is
most
it?
Of the time, that's the train.
Yeah.
I see.
Not much of a battle.
All the way up to the shootings, robberies,
good
shots
times.
Fired,
never
homicides.
A dull moment. You're laughing all day long, aren't you?
This may sound really stupid, but do all your investigations involve someone who's died?
No, not all of ours.
Is there theft and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's petty theft.
Interesting.
Robberies where just property is taken.
And you're just looking for evidence?
Yeah, we're just looking for evidence. You know, like a auto burg, so a radio was stolen. We'll look, dust for fingerprints. We'll try and list some DNA off certain areas and stuff like that. No one was hurt. No one was even contacted because it's just a burglary, not a robbery. So
okay.
We are going to take a break and take some calls. Again, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to ask a CSI, Chris Kraft is our guest. Let me ask you one question before the break, and that is, has your job been made more difficult because of the popularity of all the CSI shows on television? Because now the bad guys out there kind of know a little more about cleaning up a crime scene than they did before they saw the show.
It's been extremely difficult, not only for investigating the scene. Yeah, they... Suspects do try and, either wear gloves or try and clean up a scene. But however, stuff's always left behind. The worst part is when it actually goes to trial. A lot of juries expect just a multitude of forensic evidence to be presented. And when there isn't any, then they question the court case, whether or not this defendant is guilty. And,
Because the burden of proof really is kind of tempered by what they've seen on television, how much cool stuff they're able to pull out.
Yes.
Interesting.
All right, we have a full rack of calls. We are doing Ask a CSI, and we will do that when we get back.
Going a little highbrow on the show today. It's not what people expect when they come to the Kevin and Bean program, particularly on a Friday when we usually have given up caring about the show. We're just counting down to the weekend. But today we got one of the smart ones, a forensic specialist with the Whittier Police Department. His name is Chris Kraft in the studio here this morning.
Kevin, what are you? Chris Kraft, not
Chris what? Cross? What is wrong with you? The guy's name is Chris Kraft.
If he sings a song, I thought we would bring it in.
1-800-520-1067. Get set for a brand new Omar theme song as we ask a CSI.
They show up on the crime scene, search for evidence. Blood splatter, take picture, dust for fingerprints. They test the DNA, you won't get away, because they come knocking at your door. We're gonna ask a CSI.
See, because
ask a CSI.
Because the word is testify.
Stop your singing this instant, young man. I will not have this in my studio.
Yeah, let's make a note not to play that one again.
Testify, all right, Chris, rhymes with CSI.
Yeah, we got it. 1-800-520-1067 if you have a question for our guest. Let's start with Frank in Northridge. He's on line 5. He's probably asking, I imagine, Chris, the most asked question that guys in your field get, but we'll give him a chance to do it with us on the radio. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, morning, guys. I was wondering if you do watch any of those CSI shows or any of the spinoffs, and if so, how accurate are they really?
You know, Frank, when it first came out, the Las Vegas one, I watched it for about 10 minutes and had to turn it off.
How come?
Well, it was just so outlandishly erroneous. It was
so it's nowhere near accurate?
Well,
because they have real CSI guys that consult on the show, as I understand it.
Well, yeah,
so there's no hot chicks doing lab work.
There's no hot chicks doing any of it. We don't have that. Sorry.
That's a good point.
Well, I did watch one episode to prepare myself for this interview, and while the application processes are correct, you know, they don't wear the proper safety gear. They don't take the proper steps prior to what that analytical procedure is, like photographs, measuring before they pick up, stuff like that.
Man, you're a stickler.
you know? The worst is the DNA analysis process when it takes, 30 minutes to actually get a return.
Yeah.
The fingerprint matching is the computer that is used. That's all Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm.
So there are a lot of accuracies, a lot of inaccuracies as well. So
why does it take so long to get DNA results?
Well, that's a great question.
It takes, on average, if you were to just do one sample, one case alone, it takes about 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay, stop right there. Really? Are they out to lunch for a week? How could it possibly take that long?
It only takes. I want to say within a day to actually extract. And then use the electrophosynthesis gel process to separate and get the profile. However, to analyze that, to compare it to the suspect or suspects, and also to get a verification by another scientist, that's what takes the time.
There's some wasting time going on here. 2 weeks. I mean, come on, there's some smoking out. I'll get to it tomorrow, dude. They don't expect it for 2 weeks.
Let's try Michael or whatever you want to say. And he's in Burbank and he's on line 8 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Michael, ask a CSI. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
I just want to ask, has there ever been a dead victim that was presumed dead that ever came alive?
Oh, that wasn't quite dead yet.
I'm not dead yet.
not that I know of, not that I've heard of. There's obviously if you're pronounced at the scene yet still transported and then revived later through the shock treatment and the stabbing in the heart with, but
sure.
That happens, but it's never going to be to the point of, you know, an hour, 2 hours where we're at a scene, all of a sudden the body pops back.
You kick him? No. You just kick like,
yeah.
Are you up?
Jump start
him. Are you awake? Are you up? Kick, kick. All right, he's dead.
Yeah, they never have that.
Can't you take drugs that make it seem like slow everything down and make it seem like you're dead, but you're not really?
Well, yeah, but then you're still going to be transported because you're still going to have that slight sign of life, whether it's a very, very, very low pulse.
Oh, I see.
You're still going to have your heart's still going to beat. It's just going to be extremely slow.
You watch too many movies. Yeah.
There's nothing like that.
All right. We need to take a break. Can you stick around for one more break? Because we're just getting into this.
You're a bad man.
Just getting into this.
God all day.
Ask a CSI. We will take a quick break and come back at 1-800-520-1067.
Ask a CSI is what we're doing here this morning. Our guest is Chris Kraft in the studio. He's a forensic specialist with the Whittier Police Department. You guys are pretty busy. I don't know much about the city of Whittier, but a lot of crime, a lot of things for you to work on every day, Chris?
Oh, yeah. We got auto burgs, auto thefts, residential burgs. We got robberies.
Burgs. Can't say burglary. Takes way too much time.
Yeah. Who knows the terminology, does it? All right, we're taking some calls at 1-800-520-1067. We got some really some good calls. Why don't we start with Anthony in Los Angeles? Another question I'm sure you get asked all the time, but I'm interested as well. Anthony, good morning. Ask a CSI. Go ahead, you're on with Chris.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good.
I work in a surgical pathology lab, so I've seen some pretty gnarly-looking stuff myself. So what I wanted to ask is, what's kind of like just the most bizarre, disgusting thing you've ever seen spinning out of jail?
Oh, good. Hopefully everybody's eating their breakfast right now.
Good morning.
Breakfast time.
Excellent.
Probably the worst would be the train versus pedestrians.
Yeah.
We've had actually a couple recently that were just horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you pit, you know, 180, 200-pound person against a I don't know how much those trains weigh, but, you know,
more.
Obviously the body loses.
Has a human being ever won that fight? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
Why do they call you, Chris, in a scene like that? I mean, it seems like that one's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, anytime there's a dead body involved, we're going to need to roll on it either. For traffic fatalities, and that counts as a traffic fatality, we luck out because we only have to do photos, and our traffic bureau does all the physics measurements, physical measurements of the scene and whatnot, so...
Okay, some will say this is not an appropriate question, but I have to ask. Even though they're dead, do you sometimes get to see
not
boobies?
Not appropriate.
What? Let him answer.
No, I don't think
Are
I
there
can.
Sometimes boobies, Chris?
No.
Good. No, he
well,
lied.
Not
Good
true.
Answer.
All right, let's go
sometimes
to...
Sometimes people are naked.
Let's go to Jeff and Elisa Viejo. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Ask a CSI.
Great. Yeah, my question for Chris is, you know, in the 11 years that you've been, you know, CSI, has the work that you've done or your department done, you know, ever actually led up to capturing, like, a serial killer or somebody that's, you know, something that was, like, really huge where it was in the papers or anything like that, and you were responsible for actually catching the guy?
You heard of Charles Manson?
Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, he didn't have anything to do with those.
No, we didn't. We lucked out. Richard Ramirez actually hit a house about three houses out of the city of Whittier back
no
in the
kidding.
Back.
No kidding.
So we lucked out with that one. But no, with serial killing, you don't have a lot of that going on these days anymore.
Yeah.
So, no, Whittier has not had any of those problems.
All right, let's go to Katie in Burbank. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Ask a CSI.
Huge respect for you, dude. Thank you so much for doing the nitty gritty stuff that you do because that's really awesome.
Yeah, because I don't want to do it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Me neither. My question is, I wanted to know if ever, like in the history of CSIs, have murderers or killers like come back and made it personal and like get you guys like they do on the TV, like where they come after you?
Our involvement in, well, first off, we don't do the interviews and have direct contact with suspects like that unless we go to process their hands for GSR or, collect.
Sometimes you need GSR.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, gunshot residue.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Look at Lisa.
Wow. I want CSI.
If we perform any physical evidence analysis off the suspect, then that's pretty much the only direct contact. Again, we don't interview him. We don't do anything like that.
So they barely know who we are.
Yeah, yeah. Until we testify on the stand, and then by then, no. Short answer, no.
Or say, for example, you went on the radio, you know, something like that. That's all.
All right, let's blow through a few more because we got so many great questions. You have a very interesting line of work there, Chris. Let's try Lewis in Bell. He's on line 5, please. Ask a CSI on the Kevin Meach on KREC. Lewis, go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hi.
My question to Chris is, being in your field, knowing what you guys look for, would you be able to get away with murder?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh, good.
Well, I know Lewis? How he disposed of the body.
Lewis, is this coming from personal experience that you need to know what
Uh-oh.
To do? Or?
No.
Okay.
All
right.
Not.
Just checking. All right.
You know what? There is no perfect crime.
He's asking if you could get away with it knowing what you know.
I'm going to say no.
But really? The answer is yes.
Maybe.
Corporate answer.
Yeah.
Well, let me phrase it another way, Lewis, because it is a great question. Let me phrase it another way. Would you be able to come into my house and kill me, Chris, and not leave any evidence behind?
I would know how to do it better than anybody else. However, I doubt I could do it perfectly with our procedural DNA processes we have now.
What if you burned his house down with him in it?
Well, see, then there's always – again, I have the knowledge more than the common folk. But
what's your rate?
I don't.
If we wanted to hire you to go up to Bean's house, what's your rate?
It is always amazing to me, and you said the word microscopic earlier, Chris. It is always amazing the real life stories you hear in the news where the guy ends up getting tripped up because there was one carpet fiber from his house that ended up somehow in the victim's clothing, even mm-hmm. though he took the body out and buried it in the woods, you know, 80 miles away, and it had been down there for 6 months. It's incredible the detail you guys are able to pull out and what you're able to do with it sometimes.
And that's what usually gets him is the trace evidence, and then the survivability of DNA is...
Speaking of which, one more call, the survivability of DNA. Let's talk to Smiley, our old friend from Long Beach. Good morning, Smiley.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, how you doing?
Ask a CSI. Good.
I wanted to ask the question. I was watching the TV, and I saw that there was some investigating going on at the Manson family ranch, and I was wondering why 30 years later and if we found anything.
How is there still anything that we don't know about Charles Manson?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the initial investigation back in the late 60s, early 70s, what went on at that ranch. However, lately, probably what happened was we got better witness intel. Somebody actually gave us more to go on, and that's why you had, I guess, this week and last week, or was it just this week?
Physical evidence can still be there from 30 years ago that you can...
Well, what they were searching for bodies buried.
Yeah, someone told them there were some girls who had disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, I could do that. I could search for bodies. I thought it was like a hair fiber or something.
That's probably what they were doing. As for, well, they found, there's going to be a bunch of casings. I don't know if you guys have been out there. I've been out there, and that whole ranch is riddled with bullets.
So. Really? We haven't really been out there.
You're going to have a lot.
I don't know if you guys have been out to the Manson Ranch lately, but I went for lunch the other day.
But the thing about your field, though, because of the advances, Chris, that they're always making in the CSI field, is a lot of times you read about these old cases that are reopened for whatever reason, because now, thanks to new DNA or whatever, we're able to do more than the police officers could back in the day when the crime happened, right?
Yeah, that's totally true, and we're actually letting people go, unfortunately, that have been convicted of a crime in court, yet DNA evidence analyzed is setting them free. So.
Wait, did you say unfortunately?
No, unfortunately for them, they were incarcerated.
Oh, for them. Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought you meant we were letting them go, unfortunately.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Okay, I got you.
All right. Thank you for the call, Smiley. And let me ask you one question from the email, because I got I heard from a K-Rock listener who unfortunately had a murder in his family, and it was never solved. It's an unresolved case. The evidence is still being hung on to. And does there ever come a point where that evidence is released back to the family or anything like that, or do you just hang on to it forever thinking maybe one day a case might be reopened?
Well, it depends on what type of evidence it is.
Body fluids?
Body fluids.
I'm just kidding. They would want that back.
A lot of times we'll collect DNA, we'll collect blood, we'll collect urine samples or whatnot. But a lot of
personal possessions and things like that? I mean, eventually do you give it back, or do you just hang on to it in case one day it's useful?
Eventually we probably will get it back if we do, you know, try and extract DNA or take other trace items off of it. But, you know, again, not knowing the circumstances of that.
I understand.
In particular case, I couldn't say why the police department's holding on to that.
Last question from me, Chris, and it's really been entertaining. I've really enjoyed hearing your answers this last hour. Is this a field that you would recommend for people to go into? And if so, how difficult is it to get a job in your line of work?
You know, it's a great field. It's very rewarding to see, you know, what you do out there is putting these people behind bars and getting them off the street so people can, you know, lead a normal life. These days, it's actually getting harder and harder because of shows like CSI and these movies. You're getting like everybody and their uncle wants to be one now.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Right.
So, and when you think about it, Whittier Police Department employs, I think, 150 or so police officers. There's only three of us in that agency.
I see.
So we're a very, very small number in relation to everybody else that's on.
But again, watching the CSI shows, all the chicks are hot.
Right.
Right.
Well, I work with two guys, so.
All right.
Doesn't even have a chick. Like that.
Are they hot?
I don't want to. No.
All right. Well, Chris Kraft has been our guest, forensic specialist with the Whittier Police Department. Let's hear it for the man.
Yeah.
Huh? That was very cool.
Thanks, guys.
That was very cool. Chris, thanks for stopping by. Have a terrific Memorial Day weekend, man.
You too. Thank you.
Realtors at nearly 175,000 Realtors strong, they can help guide you through today's real estate landscape so you can find peace of mind with your piece of California. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
A lot of pieces there.
Thank you, Lisa. K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Not much time, but a couple of great stories you want to hear about. Psycho Mike, tell me if this is a concert you might be interested in.
The Who.
Yes.
Pearl Jam. Foo
yes.
Fighters. And Flaming Lips all on the same
yes!
day.
Yes!
How's everybody, that for 1, 2, 3, 4 punch?
Everybody but Flaming Lips.
Oh, how dare you.
This is the VH1 Rock Honors show that is going to be, you're going to be happy to hear, at the Poly Pavilion on July the 12th.
Who are they?
In Los Angeles.
Who are they honoring?
They're honoring The Who.
That's awesome.
So Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, and Flaming Lips will be performing Who songs, and The Who themselves will be on the bill as well. Again, for the VH1 Rock Honors TV show, but I don't have ticket information here, but you ought to search that one out, because that sounds like a pretty cool thing to see live, I think.
Definitely.
Amy Winehouse, as you know, having a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
She apparently now claims that her house is haunted by a little boy who died there, named Henry. And Henry apparently shows up at all hours of the day and attacks her and scratches her.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Amy sees a lot of things that aren't there, to tell you the truth. Just
drama queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Rodney. R. Kelly trial update each day at this time. We've been filling in on what's going on in that case in Chicago. It's the child porn case. Yesterday we told you about a girl who said, yeah, that's my friend. Yeah, that's how old she was. Yeah, that's R. Kelly. Yeah, we used to all hang out together. So
right.
That seems like pretty damning evidence. They put another woman on the stand yesterday, a now 23-year-old student at the University of Wisconsin. She said that she played basketball and was friends with the alleged victim, went to school with her for several years, says there's no question that that was her friend. At least she recognized her face. And tell me how technical this cross-examination is getting. She had to admit under oath that she couldn't recognize her friend's body, however.
Really?
Yeah, that's definitely her. Yeah, but is it her body? Well, you've loved... Where's Court TV on this?
No kidding.
Wow.
So that's it. They have 26 minutes of video, though. I mean,
right.
you'd think they'd get a good face shot, so to speak.
Yeah,
out of 20,
he certainly did.
26 minutes.
Check that out.
So that's witness number two who has come out and identified both R. Kelly and the girl as being the people in the video. And I guess this is the route they're going to go. I don't
How
know
about
what
some
kind
teenagers?
Of defense. Well, that's in the video too.
Yeah, that's part of it.
I don't know what else the defense has up its sleeve besides trying to discredit the witnesses for the prosecution and sticking to the mole story, but we'll keep you posted on that.
Anyone? Anything?
I'm trying to figure out because we're running late. I don't think I really have anything that's worth it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories today, but most of them blow.
Okay. Well, don't do that.
That's fine.
Shia LaBeouf's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
Oh, that's good.
Anyone
Fantastic.
Interested? Indiana
sure.
Jones?
Along with the great Neil Diamond, by the way.
Yeah,
and I bring that up because that's Jimmy's second favorite singer of all time, so he'll probably get goofy around Neil Diamond. You know, except for Huey Lewis, I think Neil Diamond is the man he loves the most.
And you may hear rumors about the Red Hot Chili Peppers breaking up. You may hear that.
Way to go, Kevin.
But the point is that Anthony and Flea and John are both, they're all going to work on solo albums for about a year, and then they have plans to get back together and re-record as the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
A friendly parting of ways.
Anthony, is it a
time.
Friendly parting of ways?
Oh, Coca-Cola, chicken, and Kentucky Fried Cheese. Wagga-dang-a-dang-dong-dang-a-dang-dong.
By the way, I think, God bless the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they're at the stage of their career where they have the luxury of being able to do that, but I think more bands would benefit by taking a little bit of time off between records instead of that endless cycle of make a record, tour for 2 years, and then go right back into the studio and make another record.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, a lot of people will tell you sometimes you got to live a little bit of life to have something to write about, and it sounds like that'll help the Chili Peppers. Not that Anthony's lyrics ever mean anything, but if they did, then he could be, you know, getting some good ideas for songs in this break. Celebrity birthdays for today. Actress Joan Collins is 75. Is she a plastic surgery victim or just getting old, Lisa? What do you think's going on with our friend Joan?
Her face doesn't look all that crazy. It's not like a Joan Rivers
face.
Looks
bad.
Former MTV VJ Karen Duffy is 42 today. Our friend Phil Selway from Radiohead turns 41. R&B singer Maxwell is 35. Country singer Jewel, is now 34. And one of the good guys in the business, the host of The Price is Right, our friend Drew Carey, turns 50 today. The movie beat is next. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Think you know Vegas? You don't know Vegas right now. Find out what you're missing at visitlasvegas.com.
The same-sex marriage issue isn't over. A slim majority in a Times poll say they would vote for a California constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, despite the recent Supreme Court decision. And yet, a majority of Californians say gay relationships aren't morally wrong, do not harm heterosexual marriage, and what matters is commitment. The older the voter, the more likely to oppose gay marriage. And also, those most likely to oppose are those who say they don't know any gay people. A Gallup poll says, no surprise, Americans are scaling back travel plans because of the price of gas.
About 360,000 fewer, and it's the first time since 1998 that there's been a drop.
California's average now officially $4 a gallon. Another reason not to go to the beach this weekend is the water will be toxic from the storm runoff. We're told to expect more rain or worse today. Yesterday, of course, two twisters hit in Riverside County. On top of Memorial Day, today is officially No Profanity Day in New York, where rapper Curtis Blow will hold a clean lyric concert. Lakers-Spurs game 2 in L.A. tonight. Dodgers host Cardinals, Angels at White Sox. Still a chance of storms. Highs in the 60s. 62 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 KROQ-FM HD1. Pasadena, Los Angeles. LA and OC's only new rock. The world famous K-Rock.
Let me tell you about a girl I know. Had a drink about an hour ago. Sitting in the corner by herself, in a bar in downtown hell. She heard a noise and she looked through the door, and saw a man she never seen before. Light skin, light blue eyes, a double chin and a plastic smile. Well, her heart raced as he walked in the door, and took an empty seat next to her at the bar. A brand new car is parked right outside. Had you like to go for a ride? And she said, wait a minute, I have to think. He said, that's fine, may I please buy you a drink? One drink turned into three or four, and then nothing got into his car. And they drove away someplace real far. Now, babe, the time has come. How'd you like to have a little fun? And she said, if we could only please be on our way, I would not run. That's when things got out of control. She didn't want to, he had his way. She said, let's go, he said, no way. Come on, babe, it's your lucky day. Shut your mouth, we're gonna do it my way. Come on, baby, don't be afraid. If it wasn't for day rape, I'd never get laid.
Behind 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I'm a little bit nervous. First thing this morning when we came on, our phone screener, Miss Cleo, came in and she was talking to us about the Indiana Jones, the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And if you weren't with us then, here's her two-word review.
It sucked.
That made me a little bit nervous because that's not what you want to hear about the Indiana Jones. So I thought, you know what? It's Friday. I know Ralph's gone, but why don't we get an expert on, a man who knows what the hell he's talking about when it comes to the movies, our old friend Russ Leatherman. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Movie Phone, joining us back on the Kevin Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Hey, Russ.
You know, that is maybe the clearest, most concise movie review I've ever heard.
Right, but is it accurate for this movie?
Well, it's a little bit accurate. A little bit. But not totally, a little bit. You know, we've been polling people at moviephone.com for months and asking them, of all of the movies opening, which movie are you most excited to see? Of course, their answer, Jennifer's Body, starring Megan Fox.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what we're saying.
She gets naked in that one.
But then there's the little Indiana Jones movie. And here's the thing. Let's not review it. Let's tell people about it. It's everyone's favorite archaeologist. You guys know, 20 years later, Harrison Ford, he returns. He's the iconic hero called back into action to stop a Soviet plot to uncover and use an ancient artifact, the Crystal Skull, to take over the world with mind control.
Sure.
Let's listen to that.
Legend says that a crystal skull was stolen from a mythical lost city in the Amazon, supposedly built out of solid gold, guarded by the living dead. Whoever returns the skull to the city temple will be given control over its power.
You will help us find it.
He doesn't read during the whole movie, does he, Mr. Movie Phone?
It's mind control.
Wow.
Come on. Now, you guys know the movie also stars Shia LaBeouf.
Yep. Who we love.
Who we love. Cate Blanchett. Karen Allen returns. You might know her from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. This movie is magic only in small pieces and parts. There's a scene at the end of the movie where Mudd, played by LaBeouf, sort of looks at the other characters and says, I don't understand. I was thinking, dude, I'm right there with you. I don't understand either.
Really?
You didn't doesn't make sense?
The movie is very convoluted. It is, it's sort of all over the place. It really goes off the rails towards the end. But let me say this. The best thing about the movie for me is the nostalgia factor, right? It's hearing the music. It's seeing Harrison Ford doing something good again.
Right.
But it is so convoluted, it literally had me thinking about, wow, that's like the best part of the ride at Disneyland when the spiders are on the wall. But with that said, I'm recommending the movie. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think you're going to have a good time. I just think you really have to lower your expectations because you think after 20 years, right? It's been 20 years that they could have worked on this story a lot. And it could use a little bit more work. But, you know, so just don't go in expecting a great Indiana Jones. Go in expecting a decent movie that really sort of throws you back to a better time. And then I think you're going to be fine with the movie.
Hey, an okay Indiana Jones is going to be better than a lot of things that are available in the cinema. But here's what we were talking about earlier today, Mr. Movie Phone, and that is that Harrison Ford, in all these interviews doing press leading up to this movie, has talked about that they've been trying to get him to come back and play this role forever. And he kept rejecting script after script after script as being substandard.
This script, go with aliens?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
This script apparently met the approval of him and Spielberg and Lucas, but it sounds like you're saying they should have waited another couple of years.
I'm saying it really just goes off the rails. I'm saying at the end of the movie, you're just going, what? Like, how did you come up with that? But again, with that said, I still think it's one of the better movies in theaters. You know, it ain't no Iron Man, that's for sure.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you're comparing it to the other, I mean, this is the third of the summer blockbusters in a row, and we'll take a quick look at the rest of the summer here. But Iron Man, by all accounts, seems to be the best of them. Speed Racer seems to be the worst of them, and this one is kind of in the middle, but closer to the good side, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And the question is, will it break the five-day box office record of $173 million, I think, by the Star Wars Episode III movie? I don't think it's going to get there. I think it'll do $140 to $150.
You do, really?
Well, that's not bad.
I think it's going to be huge, but I think the word of mouth, I think it'll drop like a rock next week. But this week, it's going to be massive. There's no doubt about it. And then, you know, like you were talking about going on with the summer, next week, we have that movie for the girls, the Sex and the City movie.
Oh, dear God, that was could not come fast enough for me.
So happy.
Lisa, do you have your girly party all hooked up already?
I do.
Of course.
Do you really?
All girls have parties hooked up for that movie. They got 20, 30 people they're going with.
I used to have Sex in the City parties at my house for the TV show.
Oh, God. Okay. Do you have any photos? Because I would love
I'd like
Russ,
the first half of that party.
You haven't seen this one yet, right?
No, I haven't seen it. But, I talked to Lisa and I talked to every other woman on the planet, and they're saying, oh, I'm getting these parties together. I love this. I'm going to go see this movie. Then you talk to every guy. And seriously, unless they're, like, mega gay, they're not going anywhere close to this movie, right?
Yep.
So the girls are saying, oh, it's going to be a huge success. It's going to be big. Well, how big can it open? You know, you look at the...
I don't know. We're 50% of the population.
The bad 50%.
Well, I don't think it measures bad or good, Bean. I think it just measures did they pay.
By the way, the advance word on the movie isn't great. Plus, you look at like the biggest romantic comedies ever to open, and they're like in the $40 million range, et cetera. So, Lisa, as big as you ladies are, you ain't got the power. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all I know is 2 weeks ago. Well, let's see. The movie opens in a week. So a week ago, they already had several of the screening show sold out at the Arclight.
Yeah, and it's amazing who buys those tickets.
Women.
Maybe not moviegoers, I'm just saying.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
I don't get that.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Sometimes, and I'm not pointing any fingers, sometimes studios will set up situations where they have sold-out screenings.
I don't think they need to in this case, though.
I think
the interest is there for the initial weekend, at least.
I think you're right, and then word of mouth will completely drive the movie in. But by the way, you talk about guys not wanting to see it. If you do go see it, guys, guaranteed, this is going to be like Kook Fest 2008.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, you mean all the crazy women?
I mean,
older women. Yeah,
it's going to be a sight to see. So,
okay,
I think we want you there.
Number one,
fantastic. That is true.
How mean of you?
We're all on the same page. Then that's good.
We don't need you or want you there.
Let me ask you this. Let me see if I can figure out a way to phrase this in our remaining moments, Mr. Movie Phone. And that is, I understand that we're not interested in most of the topics that the girls on Sex and the City talk about. I understand that there's a relatability issue, but we all see movies of stuff that is not relatable to our lives, but we still enjoy it because it is well done and well acted. From the moments that I've seen, not only in the clips of the movie, but in the few moments I've seen of the series in my whole life, it never looks funny. It never looks entertaining. It never looks good. What am I missing?
Nothing. I couldn't agree with you anymore. And I do think it's going to have this big weekend because Lisa and her goofy friends are going to go check it out.
Yep.
And then it's done. And then it's over and we're moving on to Space Chimps.
You guys forget this was 6 years of a TV series that we adore.
I can't possibly.
Got canceled
so
or whatever happened.
I cannot possibly hear another week of this BS hype. I can't take it.
You can't be surprised.
You're Mr. Movie Phone. Can you get them to move the movie up to Wednesday or Tuesday?
Tomorrow. We're going to go tomorrow. How's that?
Well, I'm telling you, Russ, we're right there with you when Space Chimps comes out, man. Got to talk to you about that.
By the way, best title of the summer. So anyhow, and by the way, this may sound like a sort of a shameless plug, but if you were ever going to buy your tickets to, get your showtime to get your tickets for a movie, Indiana Jones, it is selling out all the places.
Yeah. Okay.
It is a little shameless, but you definitely want to do that.
Okay. Mr. Movie Phone, always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you again soon, dude.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank
Bye.
You, dude.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call, get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a pair of passes to Hootenanny July 5th at the Oak Canyon Ranch. Tickets are going on sale tomorrow at 10. And on sale now, right now, Afflicted Clothing presents Affliction Band at the Honda Center July 19th. And that, of course, is your MMA. So you get all of that for being on the air. And I insist that we start with Erin in Sherman Oaks, who's a woman who doesn't like Sex in the City. God bless her.
Refreshing. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Erin. Hi, guys. Yes, I'm calling in because there is a girl out there who hates Sex in the City, and it may be because my IQ is higher than that of a grapefruit.
Yeah!
Oh, Erin, what's
like
that?
I love you. I love you so much. She doesn't like it, and she's snobby. Good.
No, to me, like President Bush and American Idol, it really does epitomize so much of what's wrong with the country. And I just wanted you guys to know that not all women are mindless sheep, and at least one...
That's not fair. That is not fair. I like the show because... What?
I said life doesn't revolve around shoes and cheating men.
Yes, it does.
It's really not
in New
about
York.
Shoes at all. It's about...
How is it not about shoes and cheating men? That's the
friends.
Plot of every episode.
No, it's not.
I know. What's wrong
You've
with
you? Bean, how many episodes have you ever seen that you
I've
know
never
the plot
seen
of
an
every...
episode.
All right, then.
I've never seen an episode.
Let's
I've seen a bunch because my wife loves that.
Yes, and it's not all about cheating men. It is about relationships.
And horrible women's view of them.
And women's friendships. Well, look, dating men is not easy.
All right. Erin, you know what? We're going to take down your phone number. We need to talk to you on Tuesday morning, okay?
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about Sex in the City. We're going to try and figure out why, how come.
I would love to.
Okay, hold on. We'll get your phone. Okay. Don't go away.
In the meantime, though, Erin is good, Lisa's bad, so let's all make it right.
I mean, I'm fine that she doesn't like it.
Right, but she doesn't
mindless
have to say.
Sheep?
She does go on the offensive just a bit.
George Bush? Really?
Well, people who watch Sex and the City might as well have started the Iraq War. That's what we're saying.
It's like 9/11.
It is like 9/11. I'll fight anyone. Let's try Chris in Covina, who I think is asking an excellent, excellent question. Good morning, Chris. What it do?
What it do, Kevin and Bean?
What
it do, Lisa?
Hi.
So, I've been on IMDb all week, and I haven't seen the green light yet for Lightning Scorsese's masterpiece of Dwan Cribs.
Oh, they went.
Oh,
they did go to listener Dwan's house. They did record Cribs. I believe the video and the audio will be available in mid next week, like maybe Wednesday ish.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you're gonna have to wait for that, but it's worth it.
It's great.
The fans are waiting.
All right,
I know they are. We're right there with you, Chris. Thank you, Psycho Mike. Don't spoil anything. But is it awesome? Is it everything that we hoped it would be, Dwan's Crib?
Yeah, it was so fun. It was such a positive experience, and you will love Dwan even more than you already do, which I know
he's
sounds crazy.
That's not possible.
You know, I've said this on the air, and I'm saying it again, and I mean it. This isn't just a radio ha-ha. I would let Dwan come live with me in my barn. I mean, I really would. That's how much I enjoy Dwan. I would let him live in the barn. Let's try Ronnie in Pico Rivera on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ronnie, welcome to the show. What'd it do?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, Lisa May.
What's up?
Just wanted to know if you guys seen those pictures of Sharon Stone in cans.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon Stone's cans?
No. Go lower. Think lower.
Oh, lower.
It's an upskirt. Yeah? What's your comment?
Dude, that is so disgusting. That's worse than Britney Spears.
I just threw up.
Well, Britney is younger.
I didn't see it. What is, what?
She's pantyless.
What's, I know, I understand
boat.
What people are looking at. I'm saying
you
what
want
makes.
Us to describe
no,
it?
No, but what?
All right, let me put it
we
this way, Kevin.
How bad can it be?
Yeah. Let me put it this way. Our friend Tyler Durden, who I say is our friend because we admire his work so much, although we don't actually know who he is. He posted the photo on his website, and he said that it looks like her vag has been attacked by bees. I don't know. That's the closest I can come to describing what it is.
Good enough.
Kind of puffy.
Good enough.
I'm sorry.
Kind of puffy.
It looks like an In-N-Out grilled cheese.
Oh, dear God. All right. Let's go to Angel in Venice. Good morning, Angel.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What's up, Lisa May?
Hi.
Well, all right. I made a bet with my girl the first Laker game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she won. So first. I got backdoor action for this weekend.
Oh, way to go.
So now, today, she wants me to bet her again, double or nothing. I was wondering, what should I do?
Wait. So you're betting on the Lakers and she's betting on San Antonio?
Correct.
Okay, so she lost the bet, you get
she
backdoor.
She lost the first bet.
She wants to double or nothing.
What if you lose this bet? What does
she
get?
Well, then I get no backdoor action.
No. Right.
She doesn't get anything?
She gets to not have to give it up.
To not do that?
The actual bet the first time was I was going to get a bikini wax, but I won.
Okay.
I see. Okay. All right.
And so
what are you going to have to do if you lose on game two?
I don't get no backdoor action.
Right. Well, that's a terrible bet for her to make.
It's just like a double or nothing. So it's basically she pays twice or nothing. That's a
She's
normal
a terrible
bet.
No, double or nothing. That's standard double
Why
or nothing.
Why is that good for her, though, in any way?
I think the Lakers are going to win.
So I should go for it.
But I think...
Come on.
I think the Lakers are going to win, but I don't think you want to let... Have you ever done that with her?
No.
Double up.
I think you got to take advantage of that.
I agree.
Double up.
I really do think... No.
Don't.
No, I think they're going to win, but why risk it?
Yeah.
If you have it, take it.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Agree.
Okay.
I need you guys to come over.
All right. Call us next week. Let us know how it's going, all right?
Sweet.
All right, let's talk to Allie in Upland, by the way, because you know how I love the American Idol.
Yeah, I don't want to take
I love
this
my
call.
Man
this
David
is stupid.
Cook.
This
but
is.
But he's so awesome.
That's girlish.
But he's great. But he's the best American Idol ever.
No.
Allie?
Yes.
Hi, Allie.
What's up, dude? You're our final call today.
I'm going to cut you off as soon as you start talking gay.
Okay, fine then.
Well, then you'll have to cut Bean off, too.
I know.
All right, basically.
Okay, there it is.
He's out.
Okay, he's out.
Right, thanks for the call.
I want to thank all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Ask a CSI. How about our man Chris Croft from the Whittier Police Department? He was so fascinating. And I don't know. I don't feel good about us when we start hanging out with smart people. We do not reflect well. I want to thank Beer Mug for nothing. You're a sucker. I also want to thank Mr. Movie Phone, moviephone.com. That's Movie Phone with an F, by the way, if you want to check that out. And I think that's it for today, but we got a huge show planned for Tuesday morning. Am I right?
Tyra Banks, a big fat whore. We got that on Tuesday.
Oh, good.
People who throw birthday parties for their pet and the website for them, who we need to talk to and tell them to stop it.
Yeah.
How about if I said the names Johnny Knoxville on Tuesday? And how about if I said the name Pau Gasol on Tuesday?
That's a pretty good 1-2 punch right there.
So that's all Tuesday morning on the Kevin Beach. Plus, Ralph will be back so that you won't have to suffer through our showbiz.
Yeah, we apologize for that. This is where you hit the song.
I was just thinking, man, I can't hit that song soon enough.
And then you couldn't hit the song?
I don't forget the song. Yeah, and then I hit the song.
That's the way I work.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Have you ever pooped a balloon?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The tonic is chronic.
What was that?
Roll another one.
Hi. Are you high?
Just like the other. This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
And I need another hit.
Guess what's coming up next with our friend Kat Corbett? It's the Memorial Day Top 500 Countdown, the 500 biggest and best songs on this radio station as decided by you, the K-Rock listeners with no taste. Please enjoy.
Roll, roll another one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Balls.
Just like the other one.
You're high. You're on the pot.
This one seems to be about.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
They came to the party, and they were disappointed.
I drank your milkshake.
Just pass it around.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
You
think the brews at the Marriott available to you?
Failed conclusively. It's over. And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
Okay, so you're free to go. But we're cool, right?
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
The Hoff loves to rock.